Radio Influence. The future is now.
Flavor, please tell your neighbors. Ian Beckles with flavor in your ear. Wake up, sports, music, and fashion. Best of podcasting. What's going on now and what's soon to happen? Be sure to stick around, no fast forward or skipping. Dropping jewels, you don't want to miss them. Make sure you listen. Ian Beckles with the flavor in your ear. The voice of the people's here. It's here.
Bring that flavor. Flavor.
All right. Hello, hello, hello. This is the inaugural Ian Beckles Flavor in the Ear show. I didn't make up Flavor in the Ear. It's an old hip-hop term with Craig Mack back in the day. It was actually the first remix ever. P. Diddy. So hopefully this is the first of many produced shows here. I'm here sitting with Jason and Jerry from Radio Influence. Like I said, hopefully we'll be doing this for a long time. I'm not scared of new things. I am new to the podcast game. I don't know if I'm going to curse or not because I don't know if I want to mess up my mindset because I still do, you know, terrestrial radio. And when the microphone comes on, you don't normally want any curse words in your head. So maybe the show, maybe when it's halfway through, I get a little loose and I curse. I don't know. We'll find out. I don't know if that's going to make or break the show. Well, flavor in the ear could be a lot of things. What we're going to do is always be around wonderful food. And that's important in my world. I don't know about your world, but I love to eat. I love food. And I could say with an open mind, I love food more than you. You might love food, but I love food. So flavor in the ear, we're going to do all the podcasts from local restaurants. We're not scared to go out, you know, go outside of the rim. We'll go to Sarasota, doesn't matter, but we're going to find all the great restaurants, do the podcast from here, get a chance to interview the owners or the chefs, have them bring an abundance of wonderful food, and we will eat it on air and let you guys hear what we think about the food. This place here, I'm in Smokin' Aces in Plant City. So I'm a South Tampa guy, so you know I passed about 100 barbecue places to get here to Smokin' Aces, and it's on Park Row right across from Stingray Chevrolet. And my guy Robert, I've kind of followed him around. He was in the parking lot of Keel and Curly back in the day. And I ate his barbecue, and it was amazing. And then I found out he had a freestanding building here in Plant City. And I came and hung out, and the food is unbelievable here. I brought many people through here to taste the food. And he's undefeated. I mean, the food is fantastic. So I have a couple special guests who are going to be rolling in here today. The lovely Kathy Suzowitz, who I was exposed to with my other life in the other building in radio. She was part of our show, the Ron and Ian show. And now she has her own podcast, On the Beach, with the great Jeff Pantrich. So Kathy Suzowitz is going to sit in. It's always nice to have a female's voice. I like females. I like food and I like females. So hopefully we'll have a little bit of that on all our shows. The big game, Super Bowl, I believe I can say Super Bowl. I don't have to pay them for that. The big game is Sunday. This will be airing Friday. So you definitely want to talk a little Super Bowl, a little bit of betting, what I think about the game, the way the season's gone. I'm sure it'll kind of ooze into a little Buccaneer talk. And I got my boy Tony Mayberry, former Buccaneer, great friend of mine. He was played center for the Buccaneers for 10 years, started 9 straight years, didn't miss a game. So I think collectively we know a little bit about football. Hell, I know as much football as John Lynch, and he just got a GM job. So that makes me feel good about myself. I may be a GM of a football team any week now. Maybe somebody's going to come and knock on my door, but I don't know if that's going to happen. But Tony Mayberry is going to be here. We're going to talk a little Super Bowl, a little football, obviously a little food as well. Food's always going to be kind of sprinkled into everything that we do. But the lovely Kathy Suzowitz is going to be here for a little while. You know, we're going to talk about little things, entertainment. Beyonce just put out on Instagram that she's going to have twins and broke a record for likes. Now, I don't know how many Instagram followers you got. I think I got about 2,500 Instagram. I'm more a Twitter guy, at Ian Beckles, by the way. She got 7.5 million likes on Instagram. that I didn't say views. She got 7.5 million likes for just putting a picture of her belly and saying that, you know, she's going to be having twins. Now, it doesn't hurt that they probably have the probably the craziest couple in Hollywood is Jay-Z and Beyonce. Money-wise, swag, the whole nine yards. So that's it. She's going to have twins now. Their other daughter, 5 years old now, is called Blue Ivy. Now you have to name twins. I don't know how long it's going to take for them to find names for those two babies, because Blue Ivy couldn't have been the first choice. There's no way. They had to have gone to 100 other names before they decided Blue Ivy. You don't grow up saying, I'm going to name my kid Blue Ivy. I don't know what kind of stuff they were smoking, but Blue Ivy's odd. I think if you name your kid Blue Ivy, the kid is destined to smoke a lot of weed throughout their lives. You know, I mean, that's just inevitable. Anyways, Beyonce, she's it right now. And 7.5 million likes on Instagram. And the first thing I did this morning, I woke up and I saw that on the news. And the first thing I did was go and follow Beyonce. I went and followed Beyonce, and then I liked the picture. And I think I was like 707.4 million, something. So I'm honored to be one of the 7.5 million that liked her Instagram. So we're going to talk a little, you know, Hollywood type stuff. I want to talk politics because, you know, we're so fresh out of this election with the great Donald Trump as our president. It's been 2 weeks. I don't know Kathy Susiewicz's stance on politics. I'm not a very political person, so to speak. I mean, lately I've been kind of into it a little bit more. I don't know if I believe in it. I just think it's very entertaining. But after the inauguration and people protesting, I'm not sure what they're protesting. There's a lot of craziness going on now. I mean, the president, you know, people hating on the president. I mean, people hated on our last president a little bit at the beginning, actually all the way through. But this is different. I mean, nobody boycotted Obama. You just didn't like him. Some people didn't. But they're boycotting our president. You know, he wants to build a wall. He wants everybody to stay out. You know, and then I get up in the morning and they're talking about Tampa being a sanctuary where, you know, you can't kick anybody out. So if you live in the Tampa Bay area and you don't like people from elsewhere, you better run because they're all coming here. All right. So it's just odd to me. It's 2 weeks in. Donald Trump wasn't messing around. I mean, usually it usually takes a couple weeks to settle in at the White House and hang out a little bit. The first day he was sitting down with that pen and that off jacket that he wears, and right away he's signing bills, and he said, start building the wall. Get them all out. I mean, it's quick. So, you know, I don't know if he's going to last 4 years, 8 years, but I know regardless, it's going to be interesting. And, you know, being a part of the media, there's nothing better than interesting. You know, the Buccaneers throughout the years, you know, when I was in sports radio, they've had some seasons where they're 5-11. They have some seasons when they're 11-5. But the most interesting seasons are the ones where John Gruden's going through craziness and Raheem Morris is in the club hanging out. And, you know, those are fun stuff. All I know is Donald Trump ain't going to be boring. Okay. If it's 4 years, 8 years, whatever it is, I can't imagine 8 years of Donald Trump. I can't imagine. After 2 weeks with the shenanigans and tomfoolery going on, I can't imagine it's going to last 8 years. I don't think anybody will allow that. Now, I'm not a huge Trump fan. Like I said, I'm not a fan of politics in general. I'm rooting for the guy. I mean, I'm rooting for our country. I want him to make good decisions that are going to affect us and in a positive manner. I don't know if he's overthinking a whole lot of stuff. Like, I don't know that much about Obamacare. I really don't. I know that it's obviously not flawless and it's had some issues. But you can't just abolish it if you don't have a plan. You need a plan. Okay, abolishing it's cool, but, you know, in the meantime, what are all these people going to be doing? And I don't know. It just seems like everything's being done hastily. And like I said, I hope it all works out for everybody. Another interesting thing, and back in the day, I was on the radio every day, Monday through Friday. So when something happened, you get a chance to talk about it immediately. And it's a lot easier that way. Now, since I'm going to be on, you know, once a week, with you guys. What's good is I just hear things throughout the week, and you're dying to talk about it. They're allowing transgender boys, I guess it would be, in Boy Scouts. And, you know, it's a very sensitive subject, I think, because, first of all, I don't know why people are that sensitive, because I've never really met anybody that's transgender that I know of. I don't think, unless, I mean, they didn't say, hey, I'm transgender, and I don't know if that would, I'm going to say it wouldn't make a difference, but I think it would have to. But it's one of those things where, you know, I have gay friends, and I'm not like some people are saying, I have a black friend, okay? It's different. Or a black guy's been in my house. No, I have gay friends that I love to death. I hang out with. We got a lot in common. Have a wonderful time. I don't know any transgender people. And I'd love to sit down with a transgender person and ask them some questions, because I'm confused. I don't really understand. I don't know where you've been. I don't know where you're going. I was watching a show the other day, and they had some transgender people on there, and they're explaining their mentality, and they like to refer themselves from they, them, and there. And I didn't understand that. Instead of like him, his, her, she, they want to be plural. Like they're considering themselves plural people. If I wasn't confused before, I don't know what's happening now. I mean, you can't be plural, you're one person, okay? Whatever your gender is, you didn't grow up with two of them. So you can't be two people. Pick one and roll with it. So they're going to let transgender boys in Boy Scouts. I don't know if that's good. I'm not sure if that's good or not. Because if it confuses me, I'm 49 years old. I'm old, been through a lot of crap. What's it going to do to a 10-year-old boy when he says, hey, daddy, she looks like it used to be a girl? And how are you going to explain that? I was driving down Duval Street in Key West once, and there was definitely some transgender people there, no doubt. And we drove by a club, and my daughter was probably 4 years old in the back seat, and we drove by a club that had a transgender person standing in the front, and I kind of looked through the mirror, and she looked at me, and she was confused. And then she asked me, Daddy, was that a guy or a girl? And I didn't know how to answer her. So if I can't figure it out, and I don't know what to say, because you can't say that used to be a boy, now it's trying to be a girl, kind of. I like things to be cut and dry, what, you know, black and white. It's a lot easier that way. So when Kathy comes in, we're going to talk about that a little bit. Hopefully she has some different views than I have. I'm hoping Kathy's a Trump fan. I'm not going to bet on it, but I'm hoping she's a Trump fan. It brings two different sides. I'm not a Trump fan, and I definitely wasn't a Hillary fan, so maybe I was a Trump fan. It can't come out of my mouth, though. I'm just not able to say that. A lot of different things were happening during the week. Steve Harvey, Miss Universe. Everybody made a big deal. Oh, I can't believe Steve Harvey is still doing Miss Universe. Nobody ever said Miss Universe until he messed up last year. Nobody gave a crap about Miss Universe until Steve Harvey messed that up. And oh my God, her feelings. It's a pageant. Come on. Pageant people? You ain't right. I don't care. I don't care. I mean, standing around there in your drawers and, just sitting there and smiling pretty and trying to act intelligent. And they're acting intelligent. It's all a facade. They're like robots pretty much. So nobody gave a darn about Miss Universe until Steve Harvey messed up. And I haven't looked at the ratings yet. Maybe somebody can look that up for me. But I bet the ratings this year for Miss Universe doubled last year, because I didn't even know it was happening last year, okay? So I kind of peeped at it a little bit. I kind of put in my 2 cents of who I thought was cool. And there were some attractive young girls out there, but they're not real people, though. They're not real human beings. You know, when you grow up and your kids are in pageants, shame on you. If you put your kids in pageants, you should be put in jail for child abuse. Come on, I've watched the shows. That's not good for your kid. To be crying when they're 4 because they didn't win. I want to win, mommy. Come on. That's not good, okay? That's not anything that should be in a kid's mind when they're that age. So we're going to talk a little bit about Miss Universe as well. There's a lot of crazies out there. If it's not somebody driving the wrong way in Tampa, which happens every day, it seems like, and somebody gets T-boned, I'm at a two-way stop, but I look 4 ways now. I'm scared of everybody. Everybody's crazy. People aren't stopping at lights. They're not stopping at stop signs. I don't trust nobody, okay? If it's not crazy drivers out there, it's somebody killing somebody over a mini bike on Craigslist. Come on. I mean, all these crazy stories. If I go to Michigan, is there crazy stories like this? Because it seems like even nationally, crazy stories, they all come from Florida. All of them. Like, you know, right afterwards, someone's going to say Florida. You know what's going to happen. So we got the crazies here. I'm scared of everybody. I don't trust anybody anymore. They got thieves. Listen closely. Thieves stealing guns. That's the worst equation I've ever heard in my life. So we're having convicts and felons breaking into gun stores and stealing 50 guns. 50 guns? Is that who you want? You want it in their hands? What are they going to do? They're going to legally sell guns to other convicts and felons. So we're in trouble, everybody. Shouldn't there be some kind of a law or ordinance that if a gun owner gets his gun stolen, that he has to pay some? Because hopefully you're smart enough to lock your guns up. That should be a no-brainer. Somebody goes and steals your guns and then holds up a convenience store and shoots somebody in the face, you should be liable for that. I'm all for people having guns. I really am. I'm not a gun person, but I want you to have a gun if you deserve a gun, okay? And only if you deserve a gun. And once again, I'm okay with you and a gun. But let's get the intelligent people with guns. You know what I'm saying? There's too many unintelligent people with guns. I'm from Canada. We're a little bit more liberal of a people. You're allowed to have a gun, but you got to go through classes and you got to get some, you know, you got to get checked a little bit. And now it's like I could go to a sports authority with, you know, my driver's license and say, yo, I want a gun. I want a 357, you know, with that silencer on it, you know, and the laser on it too. I want that Charles Bronson joint. And you walk in there and you can go get it right off rip. And they don't ask you no questions. Then you walk out of there with a Charles Bronson gun. And nobody gives a rat's ass whether you're a credible person or not. So there's a lot of crazy stuff happening in the Tampa Bay area. And I think really in Florida in general. So this is going to be fun, first of all. Tony Mayberry's coming in later. We're going to talk a little football. Just saw the lovely Kathy Susiewicz walk in. And we're going to just be chatting back and forth, kind of freestyling. And that's what this is all about. And that's what Flavoring Year is going to be all about, and hopefully for years to come. And I'm just glad to have this opportunity to rap with you guys a little bit, and we're gonna keep it loose. We have the lovely Kathy Susiewicz in the house. Have you ever tried to say that 10 times fast?
Susiewicz?
Because I have a big fat tongue.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
It's hard for me.
It is. It's a tough last name to have.
Yeah.
I've always joked. I said, when I get married, someday I have to marry a man that has a last name with 5 letters or less.
Okay.
Yeah, like a Smith or a Jones or a something like that.
Susiewicz.
I got to make my life easier.
And what's the origin of that?
It's though? German.
German, okay.
Yeah.
Susiewicz.
But people call me Roller Girl.
I know, from back in the day.
Back in the day.
Roller Girl.
So.
You remember we first met? You remember where we were?
At the studio?
No.
Where did we first meet?
First met at the Wolf's Den in Greg Wolf's
backyard. Oh, at Greg Wolf's house.
Yeah.
Yes.
We were good.
Yes, I do remember that party.
We were good. Yeah. That was an odd and interesting
That's
party.
Right. Yeah.
You know, there's not normally that many porn stars at my parties.
No, there was a lot of girls there.
There's a lot of porn stars.
Lots of, yeah.
No, I didn't say girls. I said porn stars.
Porn stars, yeah.
Yeah, those are not the same thing. You know what I mean?
Well, yes, yeah. lots of people were there that night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was an interesting night.
It was a good time.
As it normally was. It was late.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I remember coming from a couple other parties, and I remember saying, we were talking. I said, what is your name? You said, yeah. Roller Girl. And I was listening. I'd been listening to you guys. You and
the Fabulous,
and
Sports,
the Fabulous
Babe.
Sports Babe. Mm-hmm. So I knew of you. And I said, hey, I'm a big fan.
Right.
You know, so that was way, way back when.
Yeah.
I don't remember any of the rest of the conversation.
No.
It
was a fun night.
It was fuzzy. But it's all good. We had a wonderful time.
Oh, yeah. And then we ended up working together.
We
a few
did.
Years after that.
Absolutely. And then Corporate America happened, and you know, I had to go elsewhere. And here I am.
I'm so glad you're on Radio Influence now.
I'm excited.
Doing a
I'm
podcast excited. Is a lot of fun because we don't have, you know, our bosses.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have bosses telling us what we have to talk about.
We're working for us.
That's right.
No rules. We can curse if we want.
If you
do
want.
Do you curse?
I don't curse a lot.
Okay.
Occasionally, I'll let a word slip here or there.
I do curse a lot.
Yeah.
So I don't want to start cursing. Because once I start, then I think I'm going to be in trouble.
No. You're all right.
I don't want it to be the cursing show.
Nah, you don't want it like that.
I try to come at it with a little couth, you know? Mm-hmm. Couth is good. So what I am also going to produce is wonderful food when we do podcasts.
Well, that's why I'm here today.
Absolutely. It's not the company.
Okay? It is the company. Of course, company. It's all about
so,
you.
So we're in Plant City. You reside where?
I'm in South Tampa.
Okay. Where exactly? Because I'm a South Tampa person.
Yeah, I'm right off MacDill.
Where on MacDill?
MacDill
right
and Beta Bay. Yeah, we're neighbors probably.
I mean, I live right almost MacDill and Gandy.
Yeah.
Right there.
The last time I came to your house, you had a football party over there and you were grilling and cooking.
That was the other house. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we're neighbors.
Well, I haven't gotten settled in enough to be inviting people yet.
Okay.
But soon though. Football season's over, but yeah. I don't need a reason to eat and drink, you know.
Well, do you have enough space to have parties you did?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good.
I need space. I need space. I can't be confined, you know. Space is wonderful. Now, for the Super Bowl, do you have plans for the Super Bowl?
I think I'm just going to get together with some friends and hang out. And I'm not really into the Super Bowl this year.
No?
No.
You don't feel
I'm not excited about it. It's the Patriots again.
Yeah, no. I know.
It's like college football with Alabama. You know,
but the thing is, I don't know if I'm like my team's not in it very often.
No.
So, but I don't think it matters to me who's in the Super Bowl. It's just the Super Bowl. I think it's just something that, like the NFC Championship, AFC Championship, every other football game of the season, it doesn't matter. I'm watching.
Yeah, of course watching. You're gonna watch because one, the commercials and the entertainment.
See, I swear I don't watch the commercials.
You don't?
No, I don't care.
Oh,
you know, I see other people have the commercials. Time of commercials, you get up, you get something to eat, get something to drink. That's the thing. I'm not a big commercial guy. Like, I don't care who's commentating the game. I just like to watch football for what it is.
For what it is.
And everybody, you know, baseball's America's sport. No, it's not. It's not. Come on.
Nah.
Let's stop saying that, okay?
Yeah.
Football is America's sport.
It absolutely is. What are you going to cook on Sunday?
Well, I'm not cooking. That's funny. And that's why I'm going to say you live in this little in the same neighborhood.
Right.
We're going to be having a party at Elmer's.
Okay.
My favorite dive bar. You been to Elmer's?
I know where Elmer's is.
Yeah. You been there before?
I haven't been there.
Okay.
I just moved to South Tampa.
You don't have to wash your feet or nothing.
Nice.
You can just roll up at Elmer's. You can be in your drawers. You know, you put your PJs. It doesn't
Sounds
matter.
Sounds like a fun party.
No, really, it's interesting. It's an interesting place.
All right.
But well, I picked that place specifically because I'm doing some DJ work now. Okay, so I'm working, you know, some DJ. My boy Don Pablo is teaching me, you know, to get into the mix a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna do my show, my radio show from 11 to 1 at Elmer's.
Okay.
And then from 1 to 6, we're just gonna be doing some DJing. And Elmer's is a place where they don't care about nothing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be playing, you know, Rage Against the Machine and Ghostface Killah and Wu-Tang Clan and all that craziness.
Oh, that's going to be a
Ghetto Boys.
Great time.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. And they pour the stiffest drink on the planet.
Okay.
I mean, that's documented.
All right.
The last time I went, I said, can I get a double vodka soda? And the lady looked at me and I go, can I get a double, please?
Yeah.
And then she gave it. She goes, here's a double. But she goes, but son, don't order doubles. It's not necessary. And then I watched them pour.
Yeah. It's a heavy pour.
Two-thirds liquor. Okay? So
with a splash of soda.
Yeah, just a little splash of soda, and that's it. So that's the kind of place I like. Not the other South Tampa place where they have that measuring thing.
Yeah, I don't like those.
And after they dip it 3 times, it's like an $18 drink. I don't want that drink.
Nah.
And plastic cups, that's what I'm about. You can't forget where you're from. You know what I'm saying? So if anybody wants to hang out and have a good time, we're going to be at Elmer's all day on Sunday for the big game or the Super Bowl or whatever.
Well, I'll come by and watch the game with you guys.
Please. And even beforehand, if you want us to come and hang out, we can do that. Now, we're here at the Smokin' Aces. Have you ever been here before?
I've never been here before.
Why would you?
Well, it's in Plant City.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, I guess Plant City is a destination place, you know?
It's one of those places that if you're driving back and forth between Orlando and Tampa, you see it on the side of the road and
the
you think,
by,
like, oh, that probably looks
by.
Really good.
Yeah,
I bet they have really good barbecue.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know if Plant City is known for the barbecue. Robert and Smokin' Aces, I've been on top of this food for a long time. At 11 o'clock, he's going to bring us a big spread of food.
Oh, gosh.
And we're just going to eat it.
Okay.
Isn't that going to be fun?
Yeah.
I love to eat food. I've brought a couple people here before, and he's been passing with flying colors. So if I took you all the way here.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm
it's got
to
be good.
Yeah, there's places in South Tampa all over the place.
I know.
I brought you all the way to Smokin' Aces, so you know it's got to be wonderful.
Well, I'm excited to try it.
Good stuff. Now, as I woke up this morning, I watched Channel 13, and I watched my girlfriends over there, Vanessa Rufus.
Yes, and Jen Epstein. Love
Laura
those girls.
Moody, that's my girlfriend, too. I like to hug them.
Yeah.
You know, beautiful little things. I saw that Beyonce Did you see her Instagram?
I did. Beyonce's pregnant with twins.
Oh. Now, you saw that she broke the record for likes.
Did she?
You see how many likes she got?
I didn't see how many.
This is likes now, not views. 7.5 million likes.
Oh, my God.
I was one of them.
Were you?
I was one of them.
Did you like that? Do you like that photo of her?
Just because everybody else did. Like, I wanted to be part of history.
Oh.
You know? Like, I wasn't even following her. I'm not lying.
It's one of the worst pregnancy photos I've ever seen.
It's not a great photo.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it's...
She's in short shorts and with, like, a veil.
It's, like, over artsy, you know?
It is.
You know, just take a picture of the belly and let's move on, you know?
Or why can't she just announce it? Why do we need a photo?
It's Beyonce. Come on. I mean, you know... You don't have to even say she's a diva. Like, she epitomizes diva.
She is.
She is.
She's wonderful.
But back in the day...
People were freaking out over this yesterday.
Why?
The internet, Twitter, and everything. She's pregnant with twins. How old is she now? 33?
Oh, she's not older than that?
35?
I would think she might be a little older than that. Because I know Jay-Z's almost my age.
Yeah.
You know, Jay-Z getting up there a little bit. But we can be older. We can be older, the dudes. Like, you know, like Mick Jagger had a kid the other day. He's 94.
I know. Right?
He's still having kids.
That's too old.
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, I'm not 50 yet. I couldn't imagine having a baby now. Nah. We're good. We're good. I'm okay.
What do you think she's going to name these twins?
I was talking about that earlier. Blue Ivy's a daughter's
name. Right.
Twins. The first question is, are they going to coincide in some way? You know what I mean?
I think it needs to, yeah.
Sticky and icky.
Right.
You know what I mean? I know, but
Laverne and Shirley. Yeah. Something like.
Blue Ivy?
Yeah.
Where, like.
So it's going to be like, I don't know, Purple Haze Green
it
Mountain.
It might be. Like, I have three kids and we went through names. And if my wife said Blue Ivy, I'd be like, what?
It's silly.
Pass what are you smoking? Pass it this light. Was it Ivy? And did it become Blue Ivy? Or, like, I'd like to find out how it happened.
I don't know. You know? I don't understand celebrity baby names.
Who had the best baby names? Well, Frank Zappa's babies were named crazy. Dweezil and, Moon Unit. It's drugs. It's all drugs in it. I mean, these people are getting as high as giraffe punani, and then they're naming the kids, you know?
Don't you feel bad for these kids, though, who eventually have to become adults and go to school and make friends, and they have these crazy names?
It's
going to
be really hard
names.
For Beyonce and Jay-Z's kids to make friends. I'll do it. Okay. Hey, that's Jay-Z and Beyonce's kid. I'm going right to that kid. I'm going to
say,
Blue. Yo, bro. Hayes, if anybody messes with you, I'm your guy. Listen, some people can say, hey, I'll do your homework. Not me.
No.
Like, you don't want me doing your homework. But if something goes down, Hayes, I got you.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
Hayes
important.
Are friends.
Oh, please.
Yeah. Right.
I'm going to Hayes' house every night and hanging out. And eating big scrimp over there. Because you know they got good food at Hayes' house.
They got the jumbo shrimp.
Absolutely. You can play Madden on like a life-size screen, you know, with the interactive glasses and the whole nine yards. You know,
I can't even imagine what it's like to be a celebrity child.
But that's a step above
so
a celebrity
spoiled.
Child.
So spoiled.
Both of your parents are at the top of their game.
Yeah.
Both of them. I mean, that's going to be a little bit too much. I mean, Hayes is going to be doing heroin when he's like 9.
Yeah.
You know?
They are. They're going to come out of the womb and be like.
It's too much. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What
superstars.
Are the odds? What age is Kanye and Kim Kardashian's kid going to be doing lines? 6?
Soon, if not already.
No, seriously.
If Kanye was my dad, I'd probably be doing lines. I mean.
Absolutely. Like, how do you can't get away from that.
No.
Like I messed up one time. I got arrested back in the day for stroking a horse the wrong way on the street. Okay, I literally got arrested for that.
Was it a police horse?
It was a police horse. Okay. Yes. And afterwards, people told me you're not supposed to pet the horse. I didn't know. I know now. Everybody out there, don't pet the horse. Okay, I know now. So I got arrested for that.
That's
a
great reason to be arrested.
Yeah, really, there's no great reasons to be arrested.
I mean,
there's not.
If you have to tell someone, like, oh yeah, I got arrested. Why?
Okay, well.
I was petting a horse.
Well, at the time, I was still a bad person. Okay, if you read the story, nobody got hurt but me. You know, mm-hmm. But I'm sitting in a jail cell and I'm thinking, this is so minor. This is stupid. Nobody's going to hear about this in my mind.
Right.
Nobody's going to hear about this. Okay. So on the way to work that morning, I'm hearing it on every radio station. Channel 8 stopped the news. Breaking news: Ian Beckles was arrested. I'm like. Are you serious? And I was like, hey, I didn't know I was that dang popular. I didn't kill nobody. And I'm getting my name out there. Everybody tweet at me.
Right.
At Ian Beckles, spell my name right. Okay? Let's get those numbers up. But I still had to sit my kids aside and say, because my kids got to hear it at school.
Yeah.
Your daddy got arrested. They got to hear that.
Right.
So I had to sit them down and say, guys, daddy messed up. Because if any of you guys get arrested, I'm going to tell you messed up regardless of the situation. They messed up. You shouldn't get arrested. But read the story that nobody get hurt, okay? Mm-hmm. That's important. And hopefully none of my kids will get arrested soon.
Because no.
I won't understand that.
You were just being friendly to a horse.
That's it. I should have bought him a glass of wine or something first before I stroked him. But I understand. But Kanye West, like, it was hard for my kids to get away from that. You can't get away from Kanye West.
No, they're stuck.
There's no
the
way.
The rest of their life.
How about this part? When you Google your mom, the first thing comes up is somebody else stooping your mom. And that's how your mom got popular, by getting stooped on a videotape that everybody watched.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to turn out.
It's a rough life.
Well, they're going to have everything. They're going to have beautiful toys, but I don't know if there's ever going to be two more polarizing people. Jay-Z and Beyonce are more popular.
But they're not.
I don't know if they're more polarizing, those other two. Nobody will ever be that
I don't think again. So. They're not as crazy as Kim and Kanye. You know who whose daughter I keep seeing in the news now?
Who's
Michael
that?
Jackson's daughter, the blonde girl. Yeah, the white girl.
Yeah, you don't put a black dilly in somebody and come up with a blonde girl with blue eyes. It's never happened. Why would Michael Jackson want a black baby when he was doing everything to not be black? He wanted a white baby.
He wanted a white baby.
Some Swedish dude.
Yeah.
A Swedish skier or something. He goes, you do that there, and we'll say it's my baby. And he gave him $1 million and said, go away.
Yeah.
There's no way that's a black baby.
No way.
No way.
No. I mean, she's totally a white girl.
See,
to have Michael Jackson as your dad, that's got to be.
That's not good either.
Weird.
That's not good, though.
No.
It's not good. Because once again, there's Google.
Yes.
There's Google. They're like, well, my daddy didn't do that. He didn't do that, and then he didn't do that, or he didn't do it for the 20th time. We gave Michael Jackson a break. You know that, right?
Yes.
We let Michael Jackson pet boys
for
years.
Years.
And he kept on doing it. And he was telling us he was doing it.
And people were like, okay, it's still Michael Jackson. Yeah, yeah. We love you.
That's what happened. Well, Bill Cosby at least was hiding it. You know what I mean?
Bill Cosby didn't think he was ever going to get caught.
No, and then he waited till it was, I don't even believe he's old and senile. I think he's acting.
Yeah.
He's acting like he's blind. He's not blind. He can see. He wants us to feel sorry for him because he raped dozens and dozens of women back in the day. But Michael Jackson, at least Bill Cosby's denying it. Michael Jackson told us, I love to sleep in bed with little boys. What? Since when are you grown? I love to sit with little boys and drink wine and hang out and watch, you know, Teletubbies.
This country's going to hell.
It's been
quickly.
In hell.
It's bad.
It's getting worse. Is that possible?
I don't know. I thought we were trying to make it great again, but I feel like it's getting worse.
Well, that whole great again thing is a funny thing because I have a problem believing somebody who looked me in my face and looked at me. He says to me, this is what Donald Trump said to me. Believe me, I respect women more than anybody. You do? Okay, I'll bet everything I got that I respect women 100 times more than Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You know why? I have evidence and lots of it. Lots of it. I mean, show me one thing, Donald, that's showing you respecting a woman. Just one thing.
Anything.
Just one thing. You know what I'm saying? It's like if I said, hey, I love beets. Well, show me a picture of you eating beets.
Right.
I don't like beets.
No.
That's the only thing in the world. And liver. I don't like liver.
Okay. I'll eat
anything else. I can say I love hamburgers and barbecue. They'll go, no, you don't. And I'll pull up my Instagram and whatever. I'll say, look how much hamburgers.
Look how many hamburgers I ate this week.
How disgusting.
Yeah.
I eat all the time. Okay. So I do have Donald Trump calling Rosie O'Donnell a fat pig.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not nice. You know, everybody's talking about bullying now.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that the epitome of bullying?
He's the biggest bully.
He is the biggest bully.
So, and they're saying, like, Melania hasn't been seen since the inauguration.
She's lucky she got seen once.
She's lucky. She's happy being in her little Trump Tower in New York City by herself now.
You see them dancing?
Yeah, that was awkward.
Creepy. That was like father dancing with, like, his niece, odd, creepy. Like, she didn't want to be touching him. And he was like, I'm tired of talking to you. I've been touching you for too long. Can you imagine her? I mean,
I feel bad for her.
There's going to be some Trump fans out there that don't like this talk, and that's line. But you don't want to be, who wants to be married to him?
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
We have to put up with this crap and we're this far away. Could you imagine every day?
All the memes were so funny of her that were saying, like, you know, all I wanted was a sugar daddy.
That's it. Like, and she got fell into this.
Yeah. And now she's the first lady.
Unbelievable.
Like, and she's not happy about it. You can tell.
You can tell she's not happy. I thought it was just me. Mm-hmm. So obviously you didn't vote for him.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. And I'm not going to blame you for that. Yeah. Still, it's funny. I've only met three people that voted for the dude, but he won.
He did. I didn't know anybody that voted for
Seriously,
him.
Seriously. How did that happen?
I don't know.
We should investigate that maybe.
You would think that, like, the country would, but
the thing just flipped.
No, we're
really
just protesting.
Fast. Yeah. It went from this dude has no chance to dang.
He won.
In 1 hour, I was like, I was watching this and they're like, oh, no, Hillary's still this. And I go, I'm good at numbers. No, he's smashing her. He's smashing her. Oh, is she going to come back? And then she loses. I'm like,
Hillary was partying. Like, I think Hillary, like, threw a party because she already knew she won.
Seriously.
And then at the end of the night, they were like, party's over.
They didn't think about losing at all. And you know what? To me, the Democratic Party's got to be thinking, we picked the only person that couldn't beat that dude. You could have picked anybody else. I could have beat him. I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger could beat him.
Yeah.
You know, The Rock picked The Rock. Charles Bronson can beat him. I don't know, but not her. Not in the middle of these investigations. And she was the worst of the worst. Yeah, it didn't make any sense. And then the inauguration starts, okay? And we got to be petty and nitpick over who had more people. Listen, Trump, Obama had more people. He was the first black president. He had more people. Hillary would have had more people, okay? Over 500,000 people were protesting you. You didn't have as much as Obama. It was documented. And they're bitching and moaning about it.
Right. There was a ton of photos.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And he was pointing it out on one of his special that he did on 2020 or something a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he was like, take a look at how many people came to support me. It's like, okay, get over yourself.
There was a lot of people there,
but get over it.
But not, like, as much as the other
not
presidents.
Not as much as Obama, no.
Well, of course not. And then I want you to apologize, and you're not a credible source, and you're telling civil rights leaders that they're not good people, and you're telling Meryl Streep she's not a good actress. Really? I mean, she's got some evidence where she's a pretty darn good actress, I would think.
I would think so. You know? She's pretty good, yeah.
Was she in Devil Wears Prada?
Was that Meryl Streep?
Was that Meryl Streep?
I
think it was.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those manly things I shouldn't tell anybody.
I've seen that movie,
I want to say 20 times.
Yeah.
In an odd, like, I like fashion, you know?
Yeah.
And it's an odd movie for me, but it's kind of good, though.
A lot of guys like that one.
Do they really?
Yeah, you're okay.
You hang around a lot of gay guys, though?
No.
Oh, no?
No.
A lot of straight guys?
Straight guys like The Devil Wears Prada.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. They got a little fashion sense to
they
them.
They do. Though. You have a lot of fashion sense.
Well, thank you.
You're one of my most fashionable friends.
You think so?
Yes.
Well, let me say something, okay?
Okay.
I'm faking the funk,
yeah.
Okay? Because all I'm wearing is a New Era hat, a t-shirt, and some army pants, but I'm the king of accessories.
You are, yeah.
I am an accessorizing son of a bitch. You know, it takes
How many
me two
watches do you own?
I own more than I need.
More than you need?
More than I need, yeah. I mean, I have a drawer for my bracelets, and I have my necklaces hung up, and like, once again, I only have t-shirts and shorts and stupid pants,
right.
But accessories and glasses, you know?
Well, that's why it keeps you so, you know, looking good.
It's faking the funk.
It's faking the
funk. And it's not even expensive stuff either. And that's the thing. You don't have to be wearing expensive stuff.
No.
It's going to be different. That's it.
Have your own style.
Well, I have
like
that.
It.
I have that. I think they broke this mold when I rolled through. Now, give me give me the odds of a wall being built. Give me the odds.
Oh, that's not happening.
Like, period. Isn't that happening?
That's not happening.
I heard it's going to be $26 billion to build a wall.
No way. Do you think Mexico is going to be like, oh,
please.
Sure.
Please.
Let's pony up that
you
kind of
keep
money.
Mexicans out with a wall?
No way.
No way.
No way.
They had the Mexican dude tunneled. He had a tunnel that went like 58 miles and had 15,000 people helping him. They'll go around the damn wall.
They'll figure something
out. Okay?
Yes.
And in the meantime, when you're building this wall brick by brick, what's happening? They're pouring in.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stop. Please. There's 11 million illegal immigrants in this country. If you take them out right now, this city and this town and this state and this country will stop. You know why?
What?
Because these millennials are not going to work for $10 an hour. They're not.
They're not.
They're not. I swear to God. Like, listen, you know, if I get a lawn care service and you could say it's, you know, generalizing, Get the ones with the Mexicans. They work better. It's
they
hot
are.
And they don't even need water.
They're harder workers.
They're way harder. It's not. Listen, I went to one of those chop houses or the what do they call it? You know, where they kill the cows. I don't know what they actually call it. Slaughterhouse.
Slaughterhouse.
Yes. Somebody invited me to a slaughterhouse. Okay.
That's a weird invitation.
It is weird. But the nice guy, he gave me a box with like 20 bone-in ribeyes that were just fantastic. So I said, hey, I'll go to the slaughterhouse. I'll go check it out. First of all, still having nightmares, and it was 5 years ago. When I mean nightmares, I mean nightmares. And I'm not a queasy dude. And he said to me before we went in, you get queasy? And I go, nah, bro. I got, you know, I'm a stomach. Boy, I tell you, it was a minute into that thing where I'm just looking around. You know those scenes in movies of everything going like, That was happening everywhere.
Ew.
And I still eat meat. I don't give a crap, but. Like, could you imagine? I'm looking up, and I look over, and I'm going to be graphic. There's a cow hanging by one hoof.
Right.
And they're peeling his skin off. Ew. He's still alive. I'm like, oh, that's nice. So I look over here, and here's a little baby cow that's being gutted. And then they're slinging placentas around the room.
Oh, my God.
And I'm starting to get a little woozy. And I'm holding on to the wall. And I looked around, and there was 100 people working. Not a Caucasian and not a Negro. All Mexican. I mean 100% Mexican. If you send them away, our steaks are going to go away.
Right.
Because white people and black people aren't an Asian.
We're not going to do that kind of work.
Never get an Asian person in there. That ain't going to happen. I'm telling you, we need them.
Yes.
We need them.
Absolutely.
And these young kids, I swear to God, they're some lazy SOBs.
I have friends with like 15, 16-year-old kids, and these kids don't do anything.
They don't do anything.
Nothing. They go to parties together, and then they all hang out on their phones and sit around and play on their phones.
That's it, though.
Yeah, they don't even talk to each other.
I swear to you, being in the house, okay, was punishment
right.
when I was growing up. I'm older than you are. I didn't stay in the house, okay? If my mom said, you're going to stay in the house, that was punishment. Kids want to be in the house. Like, we used to run around. We used to ride our bikes. Now you can't ride your bike from here to across the street.
Mm-hmm.
We used to ride our bikes miles. We ride our bike 5 miles to another football field and play football, and then ride our bike back 5 miles.
Yeah.
That makes me stronger than you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
These kids now, they're playing Madden for 5 hours while they're smoking weed, okay? And then they have a little stop, and they have eat some Cheetos. And then they start up again.
And then they have Uber Eats deliver them food. You know,
and
more
then they
food.
Go to gym class, right. okay? And they don't have gym anymore. They have. No. You know what they do at gym? Sometimes they walk around the track. Seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, my kids didn't do gym. You know what we did in gym? We played floor hockey. We played dodgeball.
Right.
We played basketball. We wrestled. We competed. And I was good at it.
Uh-huh.
You know what I wasn't good at? History. So if they didn't have, if I was in school these days, that's the only thing I had was gym. I was good at it too.
Gym was my favorite class.
Yeah. If you put a ball in a game, I want that ball.
Yeah.
Like, I want it. Like, you throw a ball on the ground, you can put 100 people here and they go get the ball. I'm coming up with the ball. And if I have to gouge somebody's eyes out to take the ball, that's the kind of way I'm wired up, you know?
Well, that's why you played football.
Yeah.
You're good at
it
that.
It was kind of hard to fake what we did. And I hear these young kids sometimes, they say, I can't deal with this type of pressure. I go, what pressure? Well, I don't like people that are on top of me, and it's too much pressure. And I go, let me give you some pressure, okay? It's 3rd and 10. You're on your own 1 yard line, okay? Reggie White's across from you. You're in Green Bay, and it's 20 degrees, and you can't feel your hands. And behind you, the whole crowd is chanting, Reggie. I'm looking at Reggie White's eyes, and he's drooling. His eyes are twitching, and he's drooling, and he's shaking while they're chanting his name. Yeah. I'm thinking, I'd rather be anywhere but here, okay?
Anywhere.
So what was your pressure again? What was it again? Oh, it's too much pressure to time. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Kids are nuts.
They don't. This is my word, okay? I use this word. I talk to a lot of kids. I talk to companies. People are scared to be uncomfortable.
Oh.
People are scared to be uncomfortable. They want to be comfortable. That's too much. I don't have time. What are you doing right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Steve Harvey came and spoke when I was at iHeart, and I listened to 5 minutes of it, and it was some of the deepest stuff I ever heard. He said to some girl, what time you wake up? She goes, 8. He goes, you'll never make it. And he went on to the next person, and he was like, and he goes, honey, by 8, I've done 100 things. And I believe him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, everybody, I don't have time to work out. You do. Don't you?
You do. Yes.
You do. Everybody
People don't want to make time. They don't want to get up early. People are lazy. You're right. Kids are even lazier.
They're lazy, though.
Yeah.
Like, I never slept in. My whole life, I've never, I don't even know what that means. Like, if I'm up at latest 6 o'clock every day, I can't sleep in. It's been my mentality my whole life. I don't know if it's because I'm loco.
And do you stay out late?
No.
You go to bed pretty early.
I go to bed pretty early, but I mean, if I fall asleep at 10, which happens sometimes, I'm up
You're
at 3.
Up. Oh, man.
I'm up at 3. Like, at 5 hours, I'm up. If it's light out, I'm up. If I get in at 3 in the morning, which I don't do anymore, I used to, I'm up.
Right.
When the lights are on, I'm up, and I feel like I'm missing something.
You know, when I was a teenager, my goal was to get a car. That's when I was 16, I wanted a car.
Okay.
It doesn't matter if it was a new car or an old car, but I was going to work for it. I was going to have to do whatever I had to do to get that car. I had to get good grades. My parents said get good grades. Do you got to get good grades? You know, you got to go to, I had to go to tennis practice after school. I had to do certain things in order to get that car when I turned 16. And then I turned 16, and guess what? I didn't get a car because my parents said, you've got to pay for it.
I love your parents.
So you have to work hard. So like my friends now who have these kids that lay around and they're playing video games all day, I said, get them a job. Like, why aren't they working? Why aren't they doing something? They have no interest in buying cars anymore because they have their parents that'll drive them around anywhere, or they have Uber and they don't need a car.
Where are they getting the money for Uber? Parents?
Parents.
Yeah, that's not happening in my
No,
house.
That wouldn't happen either
no, absolutely
back
is.
In the time.
See, no, it's not going to happen with you either because I know how I grew up, and the second my kids became old enough to drive, we had one car between my three kids, and we still got the same car.
Oh,
it's raggedy.
Good, yeah.
It's raggedy, and it don't look good. But we ain't buying them a new car. We can buy their own damn car.
Right.
Once you were 16, if you drove, this is what I said, go get a job.
Got to have a job.
Period.
Yeah.
And you see kids that get to college. Once you get to college, it's hard to get a job. Get to college, get through college, and to get out of college, and never worked.
Mm-hmm.
You think those books are smarter than work ethic? They're not. Work ethic, and then listen, I went, after my rookie year in Tampa Bay, started 16 games, it was a productive year. I went back to Indiana to graduate because I thought it was important.
Right.
Nobody's ever asked me for my certificate, ever. It's sitting on the ground in my wife's office, and I looked at it and I go.
Like your diploma?
Yeah. So I'm happy I did it.
Right.
But that's not what gets you where you need to be.
No,
you know
you're
what
right.
I mean? You can do any job you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can be the CEO of a company. Just teach me how to do it. You
got
to be.
But you got
to
have the motivation to be the CEO.
Exactly. Well, CEO's a bad thing. You're not going to get a CEO job from the outside, okay?
No.
But any job out there, just teach me how to do it. I'll figure it out.
Because
one thing is I hate to, what's that word, lose. Hate it. Or look bad. You know what I'm saying? That's why I accessorize so much.
Well, you don't look bad.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. Sitting here hanging out with Cassie Suzewicz. I hope I said that right. This is Ian Beckles, Flavor in Your Ear, and we're hanging out at Smokin' Aces Barbecue, my favorite barbecue place in the Bay Area. And I'm saying Plant City is a Bay Area. We're going to adopt that, too. And once again, Sarasota is a Bay Area. It doesn't matter. I'm actually heading to Gainesville tonight. My two daughters are going to University of Florida. I won't say go Gators. I can't. I can't do it. I'm sorry. I just can't do it. I don't know why. You Gators fan?
No, I went to Florida State.
No, then you're never going to say it. you despise the Gators. And you know what? I just can't do it. You know, growing up, being here in the Tampa Bay area since 1990, they have a rabid fan base, but I'm tired of hearing it. You know? You know?
I'm tired of hearing it, too.
You are, yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's funny is football is cyclical, okay? And I've been here since 1990. It was Florida State, then it was Florida,
then it
was Florida State. In the middle of there was Miami, and Miami's done, okay? But it goes back and forth. It seems
does,
like every 3 years. Right now, it's Florida State.
Yeah.
You know?
But it'll change. I mean, it just happens that way.
They're rarely both down, though.
Right.
It seems like one is always up.
Yeah.
And, you know, and people, the same people that say that nobody wants to drive down that bridge to go watch our beloved Rays.
Mm-hmm.
They're going the other way to Gainesville every weekend.
Yes.
Okay, you can't drive 10 miles over a bridge to watch a baseball game, but you can go to Gainesville. You drive all that way, pay for all that gas, pay for a hotel, pay for a ticket, expensive ticket.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the bridge.
It's not the bridge. It's baseball. Let's be honest.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah.
Now, I was Facebook stalking you. Are you a Cubs fan?
I am, yeah. Wow. My family's from Illinois.
That's exciting.
So, yes, it was an incredible year last year. Well, to see Joe Maddon go to the Cubs was awesome, first of all. I was so happy for him.
You know Joe?
I did. I've met Joe a few times, yeah.
I could say I know Joe. Mm-hmm. What a lovely man.
Yes.
What a lovely man
he is. He's a great guy.
He really is. And I don't say that about that many people.
No.
He's just a good dude.
But him going up there and putting that team together and I mean, plus Theo up there. And I mean, what a great organization. Mm-hmm. I was so happy to see the Cubs win this year.
Well, I mean, being a Cubs fan, I would say so. Because, you know, you didn't think it was going to happen.
I didn't think it was ever going to happen.
Ever going to happen. And there's people that are 100 years old that didn't think it was going to happen.
Right.
They can go out and with a bang now. But when Joe left, there was people that aren't Joe Maddon fans, and that's fine. I don't quite understand it. Mm-hmm. I think Joe Madden's one of those guys, if you don't like him, you better check yourself.
I think they were more like Rays fans, and they didn't want to see him go feeling.
But when Tony Dungy left, you wanted him to fail?
No.
That's what I'm saying, though. I mean, if you don't like Tony Dungy, you want him to fail, then you're not a great person.
No.
I have a very short list of fantastic people that I've met. Unfortunately, they're all men, but you're on the list, Joe, and put you on the list.
Okay, thank you.
this is my short list, okay? Tony Dungy, just a real dude, you know what I mean? You know he's not going to lie to you.
Uh-huh.
Everything come out of his mouth is genuine, period. Whether you like it or not, okay? Joe Madden's on that short list.
Yeah.
Eddie DeBartolo's on that short list. I don't know him that well, but I like his aura, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Angelo Dundee. Okay. Angelo Dundee was a boxing trainer. He trained Ali and Frazier and Foreman and all those guys. He was a big fan of the show. Got a chance to meet him. You're just never going to meet somebody more interesting than that at all. You know. And Leroy Salmon was the other guy.
Leroy Salmon was great.
Did you meet Leroy?
I knew his daughter. I went to school with her.
Okay.
So I had met him just, you know, in passing.
How were his kids?
His kids were wonderful.
They had to be.
Yes, just respectful. Yeah, and we were in middle school together, and she was one of my best friends.
Yeah, Leroy was odd. Like, when I first met him, I was in the locker room when I was with the Buccaneers, and somebody goes, "Hey, that's Leroy Salmon." And I look over, and I expect him to be bigger and meaner looking.
Yeah.
And then he came over, and he goes, "Hey, Mr. Beckles, how are you?" I said, "Hey." And I was kind of looking like, use your real voice.
Uh-huh.
Okay? He's like, you're very blessed. And I was like, okay. Now, when are you going to try to bite me? You know what I mean? Because he was a mean SOB back in the day. He was mean. And he looked mean. And he was so soft-spoken and sweet. And every time I met Leroy Salmon after that, he was the same way.
Right.
You were all blessed, Ian. God bless you. And mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. I respect this. And I was like, every time you left him, you wanted to be a better person. You know what I'm saying? And that was a big loss. We lost Leroy. And Angelo Dundee passed away a couple of years ago. And somebody called, as his son called me, and he said, "Hey, Angelo's a big fan of your show. He wants to meet up with you." I go, "Cool." So I had lunch with Angelo Dundee. It was at Anthony's Coal Fire Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up getting an endorsement for 10 years after that. So it was all fate. But I sat down and talked to him, and I was like, first of all, he's a rock star. Everywhere he goes, everybody has to come and take a picture with him, and he's just the easiest guy to deal with, okay? Easiest guy. I brought him over to my house one time, in my old house, where I used to have people over for football. So I'm sitting up there watching football, and I realize there's nobody watching football with me. And I go, "Where is everybody?" So I go downstairs, and Angelo Dundee is sitting downstairs outside, holding court. He's telling stories.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how good can this guy's stories be? Right?
better than football.
Okay, way better. Listen to Angelo Dundee's stories, okay?
Right.
So he had an Italian accent. He goes, "So we're in New York. We're hanging out in the back alleys. I'm with Sammy Davis Jr. and Frank Sinatra. And Dean Martin comes, and we're sneaking here. And we're all drunk." And I was like, this is a good story, okay? Nobody has Frank Sinatra in their story.
No.
Here's another story. I'm sitting in the room with Ali, and Malcolm X and Martin Luther come in the room. And I'm like, that's a pretty good story. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I wish there was Facebook Live back then, and Malcolm X and Martin Luther King walk in the room. I think I'm going to put on my Facebook Live.
Uh-huh.
Take a couple pictures.
That's a story you want to sit down and listen to.
That's a good story. But he went through all this craziness, and he ended up passing, and his son called me up, and with Ron as well, and he said, "We'd like you to speak at his funeral." I said, "That'd be a pleasure." So when I was speaking at his funeral, I'm sitting as we are right here, and Muhammad Ali is 15 feet away staring at me.
No.
Gave me like it was weird.
Yeah.
Like I grew up watching Ali, and Ali was, you know, everything for me. And I don't really get nervous that much. That was nervous.
That was the day you got nervous.
Yeah, well, I've been nervous a few times. I did Dancing with the Stars, the first one.
Did you?
I almost pooped on myself. I did the first one with Julie Weintraub, and I can't remember who else was in it. J. Paul Pepin and some other guy.
That's a big event here in town.
That's a long time ago now. I don't think I've ever been that nervous. That was bad.
What did you dance?
It's funny. Everybody did a dance. I did six.
Why? Why did you do so many?
I don't know. It was just like I wanted to be different. Afterwards, everybody was saying, "Hey, yeah, you did the best and stuff." But it's a fan appreciation thing. Mm-hmm. And the guy who has the most money and the most people on their table, they always win. Oh. Okay, that's an inside scoop.
Oh.
It has nothing to do with how good you are as a dancer.
It's how much money you
have. I think we did it at Pepin Distributing, and J. Paul Pepin was dancing. And he had like 10 tables, and I had half a table. So Ian Beckles is not going to win. Okay, yeah. So he ended up winning, but I just wanted to be challenged. I did six dances, and it was to the point where if you miss a step, the whole dance was off.
Wow. So how many lessons did you have to take? Did you dance before this?
I never danced like that.
But, you know, football, I watch the show Dancing with the Stars, and the football players always win.
Well, they win a lot because...
Or athletes, I should say.
Because they
a lot
like
of athletes win.
Mm-hmm. It's important to them, and they're coachable.
Yeah.
You got to have good footwork to be a football player. You can't get around that. I get obsessed. I'm obsessed with stuff, you know? And I got out there, and there was, I think, 12 contestants, and I was the last one to go up. So I was backstage for it seemed like 2 hours, just thinking of it.
Right.
And it was just burning a hole in my head, and I forgot it at one point, and I'm like, I'm going to go crazy. And then the young lady who was dancing across from me, she goes, "Are you okay?" One time, and I go, "I don't think I am." So I'm sitting there tripping, and I think I'm going to have a bowel movement on myself, and I'm thinking, I'm going to go out there and trip, and I'm going to forget it. You ever have the dreams of dead air?
Yes, all the time.
I felt like that was going to happen out on the dance floor. Mm-hmm. Where I'm just going to forget it, and I'm going to be looking at everybody. Everybody's going to be pointing and laughing like they do in the movies.
So Dancing with the Stars, Muhammad Ali, same nervousness.
It was pretty close.
Pretty close.
It was pretty close, yes. But I don't usually, listen, I played in front of 100,000 people, and I played against the best, and it didn't make, that's,
you think that
that's,
didn't get you nervous, yeah.
That's my comfort zone,
right.
Though. Dancing is not really my comfort zone, although I can get it in.
Well, we're gonna dance here.
We could do that.
Let's go
practice.
I've been
known to set a girl on fire.
What?
I set a girl on fire. I can. A lot of friction coming from over here. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know what I'm just saying. We'll put her. We doused her a little bit. We'll douse her with Bud Light. You like to drink beer?
I do like to drink beer.
I do like to drink beer too. Are we allowed to drink on podcasts?
Yes, I usually do drink on our podcast.
You really?
Mm-hmm.
That would be one. If you would like to have a drink, I would like to buy you a drink.
Sure. Well, what time is it? I mean, it's
beer 30.
All right.
It's beer 30. It's plenty of time.
It's beer 30.
But you know what's funny? I am not going to have a drink. You know why? And I'm going to say something. You're going to think I'm crazy. But I'm auditioning to be a spin instructor. Like, I've been a spin instructor for 15
years.
Yeah,
I remember. Okay.
Yeah, I've taught spin for 15
years.
You
told me you were taking spin classes.
There's a new place that's hiring, and they're bringing somebody from Sarasota, and I'm going to be auditioning for her today at 2:30. So I just don't think the beer would
No, you don't work. Want to drink a beer before you go to spin class.
No, but I will eat some barbecue, though, a little later. I'm definitely not scared of barbecue, no doubt. Now, you like beer. You watch the channel Viceland?
No. So you mentioned that to me, and I had no idea what it was. I had to look it up and check it out.
You haven't seen any of the shows?
I haven't seen any of
the
shows.
Please do yourself a favor. Do yourself a favor and look up some of the shows, and they're wonderful.
Okay.
I mean,
what are some of your favorites? And what is this channel? It's you can like download
it's
it.
Much,
it's just
it's pretty
a,
much
on
a weed
internet.
Smoking channel.
Right.
Pretty much. Action Bronson is a rapper, and he has a show where him and his boys, they basically just go around and smoke weed and go to different restaurants and then engorge himself. And
yeah, the one episode I did kind of try to watch was they were cooking with marijuana or cooking with cannabis.
That's the show. It's called Bong Appetit.
That's it.
Really?
Yes.
Right?
That was the one I clicked on.
And they cook with cannabis.
Yeah.
But like he'll get these amazing chefs, and he'll open up his pantry. And if you're a weed head, you will have an orgasm.
They do everything with cannabis.
They open it up, and there was, I would say, 50 different strains of cannabis. There was 40 different strains of cannabis oils, and it was butter and all kind of crazy.
Right.
And they get these chefs, and they make them cook for him and his people with weed. Mm-hmm. And it's like they smoked chicken the other day, and they took, you know, like you put coals in the barbecue.
Right.
They put weed. So they literally took a big thing of weed and
just
they
set the weed on fire yes. and smoked the chicken with the smoke from the weed.
Delicious. I can taste it now.
These are some smart people.
Well,
I need to
put good weed in the barbecue. I don't know how smart you are. Maybe you're rich, but like I'm not putting the good stuff in the barbecue.
No, that's expensive too. I've tried to make brownies before. And you have to use a lot of marijuana to even like
you have to get, do it the right get, way.
Yeah, it's really tough.
Yeah, we
it's,
had
it's
a
hard
situation. I've not ever baked. I've never done that. My wife bakes. I don't bake.
Yeah, okay? Yeah.
But I've tried other people's baking.
Mm-hmm.
We had a situation in my house once though. My boy used too much of something, and we had a situation about it. It was bad. Like, my wife afterwards, she goes, never again.
No.
Like, it was bad.
Eating it makes you feel different than, I think, smoking it.
Yeah, eating it goes in your system too fast.
Yeah.
Smoking it, you can kind of, you know.
See that. Like, okay, see how what, do I okay, feel?
I
yeah.
feel now. Let me relax.
Yeah.
And this, I've seen this happen. And edibles are not the same as smoking it. I've seen this happen. Somebody eat something and an hour later go, I don't feel it. Give me another one.
Oh, no.
Okay, then. An hour from then, it's like, ooh, like something's really bad about to happen.
Yeah.
And they're in another, you know, dimension, you know? But Bon Appetit is one.
Okay.
Action Bronson has a show. He has another show. His show is called F Word.
Uh-huh.
That's Delicious.
Okay. Okay?
And he just goes around a restaurant. His other one is called Action Bronson. And him and his boys sit on the couch, smoking weed, and they're just watching a screen. And sometimes it's animals eating each other, or sometimes it's celestial. And they're just sitting there, and they're commenting, and it's just hilarious. Or am I simple?
No, I think I got to check it out. I've never heard of this Viceland.
Get yourself right.
Viceland.com.
Viceland, yeah.
All right.
Telling you.
So I cut cable. So everything I do now is on the internet. So I'm on Amazon and okay. Hulu and the Netflix and now Viceland.
You ever
I got
to get a Fire Stick.
I have a Fire Stick.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's why I got
there's
rid
of
cable.
A lot of porn on there.
Yeah,
there's
I found
lot,
that.
There's
I found that.
What I mean, lots of porn. I mean, there's lots of porn.
There's a lot of porn.
There's a lot of porn. Like, yeah. Like I was like, oh, let me see if there's porn on here. And I went on and you just first of all, there's 100 categories of .com. So I go to porn.com. Or whatever.
Right.
So I get a click, and then there's 50 other subdivisions, and you click on that click, and then there's 50 other categories, and I'm like, this is too much porn, kinda.
Well, there's movies and other TV shows and stuff too. You don't have to just search porn, Ian.
Well,
why else do you have an Amazon, right? Why else do you have a Fire Stick?
That was the main reason why I got it. And my wife, she was looking at all the categories, and she's rolling her eyes. She's like, you need that, you know. I'm with her for the majority of time when I'm watching it.
Okay, good.
You know.
Yeah.
Not always, though.
No.
Majority.
Majority.
A good majority.
I'm sure she doesn't want to know how much you're always watching it, so.
No, I'm not, because I'm not, you know. You know, something you got to reach, you know, sometimes you leave it in the back and you leave it in there. And she's thinking, oh, you're watching movies this morning before you went to work? I don't know. They're little, they break them down in little small snippets, too.
Oh.
They describe
so it's not
it.
Like a full movie.
No,
like,
it's not.
Quick.
No, it's real quick.
Oh.
Like they take snippets from movies and I'll say like big breasted Asian girls does this to big black blah blah blah. And so you're like, hey, that sounds interesting. And it's only 5 minutes, so it's not a whole like Susie's walking from the store, blah
right.
blah blah.
Not a lot of like, storytelling.
I'm not big on the storytelling part of it,
no.
You know?
Well, who is?
Women,
I mean,
I think some women like the story part of it. I just don't. I don't. It's not necessary.
No, it's not.
Let's get down to the nitty gritty.
Oh, the important conversations.
Yes. Now, how long have you been in the podcast world?
Since radio has fallen apart, which for me was about a year and a half ago.
It's getting close, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's getting close.
So it's been a year and a half. I've been doing podcasts, and I have a show with Pantridge, Jeff Pantridge. We call him Pants.
Mm-hmm.
It's called On the Beach, and we've been working with Radio Influence doing the podcast, and it's a lot of fun.
And what do you guys talk about?
First, we talked a lot about dating and dating apps and what it's like to be single in your late 30s, early 40s, and trying to just, you know, have jobs and careers.
It can't be easy. I've been married for 22 years, and I look, and I don't think I want to be single right now.
No, dating apps are silly.
No,
but then we have friends that get married because they met on Tinder. I mean, you know, so it does happen, but not for everyone. I would say there's more bad stories than good stories on dating apps.
See, I was never, the funny thing, I was never a dater. I never dated.
Oh.
Like, I mean, never dated.
You just met your wife and fell in love?
Well, I knew my wife in high school.
Right.
Okay, so... we were good friends forever, you know, like kind of a weird, letter every day, kind of a weird friend thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's like, you're going to sleep together? I'm like, no, we're friends. You know,
right.
I think it always happens eventually.
It's better to be friends.
It is better to be friends. And then one night she got me really drunk and she took advantage of me.
Well, why wouldn't she?
You know what I mean? And then like years later, you know, she got me. She wrangled me in, you know?
Yeah.
But I can get God. But I never really, I wasn't a guy like, hey, you want to go to a movie? Like, I never did that. I never in my whole life. I just, first of all, I didn't have any money.
Yeah, it's tough. Well, that's part of it. You know, it's tough being kind of broke and trying to date.
Or really broke.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just not having a ton of money or, you know, having part-time jobs and working odd hours and trying to date. And so, you know, and then some weeks Pants and I have great stories that, hey, I met someone, this and that. Other weeks, nothing, you know, like.
What about you and Pants? Is that going to happen?
No, that's not. No, we're friends.
Yeah. I don't know if I even know what Pants. I know I've met him. What does he look like?
Jeff Pantridge?
I know I've met him.
He's a hipster, and I call him a hipster all the time, but he refuses to be a hipster. But he's got a full beard.
He's fighting the hipster label?
He is.
Why? Is that a bad label?
I think so.
Yeah?
I don't know. So he hates being called a hipster.
Like, what's he going to be wearing? He's wearing skinny jeans?
Yeah, he usually wears like a jacket or like a plaid or like, he wears a lot of,
like tough guy
Hawaiian
gear,
shirts.
Really,
like he wears Hawaiian shirts and,
I think I've met him before.
Yeah.
I can see he has a hipster hairdo.
He's definitely a hipster.
Yeah, he's definitely a hipster.
He's definitely a hipster.
Yeah, he's going to listen to this and you're going to be in trouble.
I know. You know? But I call him that all the time. But yeah, so then our podcast is a lot about just entertainment and lifestyle and fun things like that. But we do drink on our podcast a lot.
You do drink. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to start like next time.
Yeah.
Kind of implementing that. I could probably drink in a couple hours. I could probably drink double dozen Bud Lights.
Yeah.
Easily.
After your spin class.
Yeah.
Do you do yoga or anything like that?
You know, I did yoga for a little while. I did the hot Bikram yoga.
Ew.
And
that's hot.
That's the hardest workout I've ever done.
Yeah.
And I mean, like I thought I was the only one. Thinking I was going to pass out the whole time.
Uh-huh.
And I guess everybody thinks they're going to pass out the whole time. I mean, literally. Like, have you done the hot yoga?
I've done hot yoga one time. Yeah. I do yoga a lot. Like, usually once or twice a week.
Yeah.
I did hot yoga one time. I thought I was going
to
die.
No, I mean, you're close to death.
Yeah.
You know?
You pass out. I've never sweat so much. And I live in Florida.
I sweat more than anybody.
Anything.
Like, nobody sweats more than me.
Right.
Like, I teach a spin class. And I usually have a hat on. Not a New Era hat, but some kind of like a little tighter workout hat.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be a faucet dripping down from the end of
forehead.
Bill of my hat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and around me is just like carnage. I mean, there's just like sweat everywhere. And it takes a lot to move this around.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, I'm exerting more energy than everybody else. It makes sense, right?
Yeah, of course you are. And spinning's tough to do too.
It is. But I'm built for a bike.
Okay.
I'm built for a bike. Like back in the day, we used to have this, it was a competition our weight coach used to do. He used to put us on a bike and have it keep on changing levels and see how far you go. I was the strongest on the team. Nobody can go further than me. If you say, everybody go run a mile, I'll be dead last.
Well, if you get this job and you're an instructor, I want to come to your spin class.
Well, absolutely.
That would be fun.
There you go. Do you spin normally?
I've tried spinning,
you've
yeah.
tried.
But well, like, I'm the type of girl that I'd have like a beer on the side or something.
Okay, yeah,
like,
well,
I'd ride my bike,
yeah,
you know, and be like, all right.
I don't suggest the beer part, but I'm gonna take you up on
that. I'll go to a spin class for sure.
No doubt. There's one other thing I want to talk to you about.
Okay.
I was watching a show the other day, and do you have any transgender friends?
No, I don't.
I don't either, okay? It just seems like we have to be politically correct with transgender people, but nobody knows any, which is odd, okay? So they're now going to let transgender kids in the Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea.
Well, the Boy Scouts recently just let the gays, you know, gay people come in a few years ago.
Yes.
So now they're allowing
leaders,
as leaders,
yes.
Right. Now they're allowing transgender. At this point, do we just say sure to everything? Why not? Do we have to be so politically correct that gets a yes, sure?
So
go
so
ahead.
Somebody used to be a girl and now is a boy.
Yeah.
Is now going to be in Boy Scouts?
See, I'd rather be in Girl Scouts because they sell the cookies.
You see, now you say they're now letting, you know, gays. My son was in Boy Scouts back in the day, and I saw him up there with a yellow ascot around his neck.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, don't know any heterosexual men that wear yellow ascots or ascots, period.
No.
So I said to my wife, you know what? And I don't like to quit, but I said, you know what? It wouldn't hurt my feelings if we take Marcus out of Boy Scouts.
Right.
It had a bad feel to it. Like, I didn't really understand what was happening. You know?
Yeah, I feel like there probably were a lot of gay guys in Boy Scouts before they let the gay guys officially in.
And not just the gay guys. You know, the other guys that were heterosexual men, they weren't the good ones. They were like the goofy ones, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The goofy ones are like, they didn't play football. They were like the football manager.
Yeah.
You know that guy?
Yes.
The kind of goofy, odd guy?
The oddball.
And to want to spend a lot of time with little boys is weird for me.
Did you have friends in Boy Scouts growing up or anything?
I never really had a lot of girls.
I was
a beaver back in the day. Okay. A beaver is before Boy Scouts.
Right, like the brownies are for the Girl Scouts.
Yeah, I was a beaver back in the day. I don't think I was for long. I didn't get it.
Yeah.
I never did
any of that.
I didn't have really anything in common with people around me. Like, I remember looking around like, this is not the cool group.
This is not where I want to be.
This is not the cool group. And what if somebody sees me?
Yeah.
And what if somebody sees me and we had like a little cravat, I think they call it, a little tie with the little bolo thing and this funny hat and like a vest. I mean, I could make a vest. I got some fly vests, but not this one though.
Yeah.
So I'm just looking. I'm like, you know.
I feel like being gay or transgender in the Boy Scouts is a perfect fit. And if you want to do that, then go ahead.
And then I was watching a show on transgender people. And I've always said this, okay? I have no problem with homosexuality.
No.
I really don't, okay? Transgender is confusing. I don't understand it, okay? So I'm not saying I'm against it. It's just very confusing. And they said something to me that was shocking, and I don't really understand it. They said that they consider themselves plural, okay? When they say about themselves, they talk about they, them, and their, when they're talking about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't use his, him, she, her,
she,
and
him,
hers.
Right.
They use plural. We're plural. That's not confusing to a little boy?
That's very confusing. It's confusing to me.
It's confusing to me.
Yeah.
So like when my daughter says, hey, daddy, or my son says, we have a girl. I used to be a guy. Now it's a guy. And I don't, like, what am I going to say? Like, I can't explain it.
I don't know. And if you don't have a child that is in that situation, it's hard to understand. Or if you don't have friends in that situation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So once again, I don't know any, so hopefully I'm not offending any. And the odds of a transgender person listening to this podcast is probably slim. And if there are, I hope there's 20.
Yeah.
That good. That means lots of people are listening.
That's
a wonderful thing. Now, We're going to talk some football. I don't want you to go anywhere because we're going to be eating food here at about 11 o'clock. We're here at Smoking Aces. I just saw Tony Mayberry roll in. So we're going to flip the script a little bit and talk a little football because that big game, the Super Bowl, is right around the corner.
Can you call it the Super Bowl on a podcast?
I can do whatever the hell I want.
You know what I want?
You know what I want to happen? The NFL to come after me. I'm going to say, yeah, you can take all the money that I make on this podcast.
I hate that people call it the big game.
Yeah,
that's so stupid.
Well, you know what? If you're on a commercial or something, you don't have a choice.
You don't have a choice.
Because you know who doesn't mess around?
The NFL.
But quite an honor talking to lovely Kathy Susiewicz about this, that, and the other. And, we still want her opinion because we like a female's voice because female voices are good. And the other voice that you're going to be hearing is young Tony Mayberry, former Buccaneer.
What's up, man? Young? No.
No, neither one of us are young because I know how old you are.
We're about the same age. What are we talking about?
I'm 4 months older than you.
Well, but I mean, that's months. Yeah, that means nothing. So when you get our age, months mean nothing.
Correct. And a lot wiser, though. You know what I mean?
Well.
No?
That's up for debate.
Okay. I'm going to say you're smarter, but I'm going to say I'm wiser. Can you give me that one? Wiser can be
I guess theoretically.
I took it already. I already took it.
Well, 4 months wiser,
there you
yes.
Go.
Wisdom comes with age, yeah.
I appreciate you. Are you a political dude?
Not really. I mean, in the sense that I obviously, you know me, I follow what's going on.
Sure.
I like to know something.
You're a CNN guy?
You know what? I don't really choose sides. I'd rather listen and stuff like that. It just comes, you know, when you grow up a military family like I did, you know, my father's career military, you know, I grew up, you know, born overseas, grew up there. You kind of get a different take on a lot of things that people who haven't been other places and experienced other cultures get, you know. I mean, obviously, you coming from Canada, you got it.
Correct.
And you see things a little bit. That's what probably gives you your little extra flavor that people like, is that you have a different outlook on things and a perspective on things.
Canadian brothers are the best breed in the world. Just so you can say it. I dare you to say he's not going to say it, obviously.
No,
and this is what I wonder, though. If we're going to build a wall that's not letting any Mexicans in, shouldn't we be building a wall in Canada, too, and not letting Canadians in? Because there's illegal immigrants coming from Canada.
Yeah, you know what? I think, you know, I could answer that jokingly, or I can be either straight one. Up. and I think I'm going to go...
either one's going to be entertaining.
Well, I was just thinking that, you know, nobody likes Canadians.
But I got some news for you. Nobody likes Americans. Once you leave this country, don't nobody like us. Seriously.
No, you know what? I think it is. I think it's all about perception and reality. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's a lot of people over the, you know, last how many decades that have, you know, risked life and limb just to get over here.
Sure.
To experience the, you know, the one thing that we have that is obviously very precious around the world is the freedom. Freedom to... speak your mind when
do we have the freedom, though? Because they're stopping people from doing stuff. We don't have freedom. I mean, just you watch Straight Outta Compton, okay? We watched that movie, and when it was happening, we didn't realize, you know, what was really happening. We're just listening to vulgar music back in the day. But what about them getting arrested in Detroit for singing a song? That's freedom of speech? That's a long time ago. And well, has it gotten any better?
Well, I think, like everything, we evolve, and I think the concepts that they used to have back in the day, from the Puritan days to the mid 1700s, when they had formed a country and everything, I think we evolve, and I think that those things they'll get all taken care of and squashed. But the main thing is when you go live overseas and you see about other people and you see how just the ability to speak your mind, the ability to, if you don't like something, protest it and not be arrested.
Yeah, but people are getting huge. Arrested though.
But you know what? I think the idea that is the country, the only they realized a long time ago that the only way the country can exist is if you have forces that are always checking you. Because when you don't, things that are the power that's left unchecked, is what when things go awry, and that's when you get dictatorships, and then you have atrocities and whatnot.
We do allow more to happen, that's for sure.
And
we allow way more.
And way more. So as soon as somebody gets, it's just normal to hate. You got one side that wins and is in power, and the other side hates on that. Other, you know what I'm saying? On that power.
Well, I mean, let's think of the way back in the day where Idi Amin Dada is going to everybody's door and knocking the door and giving you your voter's ballot saying, here, vote.
Yes.
I'm voting for Idi Amin.
Absolutely.
I'm just like, I mean, first of all, anybody that dark, this guy, you know, you got to vote for him, you know?
No, absolutely.
Was he the blackest man ever?
He was pretty dark.
He was really black.
But you know what, though? Hey, there were some guys not as black as him that was way worse. The Stalins of the world.
You
know what I'm saying? The cat from China, I forget his name. There was
Jong Il.
No, I'm no, that's North Korea. But no,
it's all good.
The idea being that these people suppressed a lot of people. There was no voting. You know what I'm saying? You just assassinated your enemies.
Yeah.
And the idea that if you are allowed to talk against the government, which is it seems like you have all obviously these thousands of people marching on Trump, even though it's over, it's been over, right? Just is because that's the kind of pressure that keeps it from getting out of control.
But okay, listen, and you can speak of this, Kathy, please, as a female. When you see 500,000 people, marching for equality, okay, aren't they really just marching because they don't like Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Because what are you going to succeed? It's a process. It's a vote. He won the vote. What are you marching about? I don't get it.
They're just angry. They're just upset.
They're just pissed off.
They're just pissed.
That somebody who can be like Donald Trump, because if 10 years ago you said, who could be the one person that can't win an election? I'd probably say Donald Trump because it's just the way he acts. Nobody's going to vote for him. And the fact that he won, it's a little scary.
Well, you know, again, two things that, again, make what I think the reason the people were coming to America for were, A, number one, he won speaks for himself, that anybody literally can rise to the highest level. And it really isn't just a preset, preordained group of people. Second, those massive protests, really, there's no, in the majority of the world, there's no such thing as a protest.
Correct.
You just do what you're told, mm-hmm. and if you don't like it, you end up in some type of gulag or some type mm-hmm. of re-education center or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
They just don't do it in other countries.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so, other countries, man, you can do it in Canada. You can do anything in Canada.
It's just like the con. You know, it's there's a lot of irony in the way the world is set up, especially our country. I mean, just the idea that the, you know, the people who desecrate the flag, but you understand that people who died for it by, you know, going to war, they're the ones that say it's okay because they realize they're protecting something by allowing you to burn that flag that is, I mean, literally not existing. You know, you can't do it other places.
But I've said this before. There's so many situations that come up, and I hear, you know, ironically, a lot of Caucasian people talking and answering whether something is disrespectful to black people. And you know what's funny? It's disrespectful to the Caucasian people, but it's not disrespectful to me. You see what I'm saying?
No, I understand.
It's getting to a point now where we're worried too much. We worry too much. I mean, I understand that there is a line of political correctness. I get that, okay? But it's to the point now where everybody's offended with everything. The N-word to me, okay, and I'm not going to lie, I use it. Not a lot. I'll use it. But I'm using it in a context. If you don't know how to use it, don't use it. It's a word. It doesn't make you a racist. Racist people make you racist. You can use any word in the dictionary if you use it in the right context. Now, if you're a white person and you use it amongst a bunch of black people, it's up to them whether they allow you to use it. So maybe you shouldn't dabble in it, okay? Right. So the white people who use it, and I have white friends that use it. Not a lot, but I've heard them use it, and it didn't shock anybody. But they've been through the ringer already. I know they're not racist. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I think we're becoming way too sensitive to everything. Everything is offensive now, it seems like.
I'm shocked that you said that.
Shocked that I said what?
I'm offended by that, Alex.
Yeah, you don't get shocked by much. You really don't. Now, I was watching the Pro Bowl just a little bit the other day.
Really?
You know what's funny?
You were the one?
Yeah, but you know what's funny? They were competing.
No,
the first time ever.
It was kind of weird, the level of intensity that picked up.
What happened?
I don't know. It could have been just a combination of whoever the coaches were. I'd like to find that out because I didn't watch it close enough to know who the coaches were.
Like, they played 100 times harder than they played last year.
Yeah. I was really shocked when I turned it on and saw. I mean, dudes were coming hard, pass rushing
hard. Like, I don't want that.
I mean, they weren't slamming dudes. You know, they weren't trying to take off, you know, helmets or nothing, but they were definitely coming.
But listen,
you
played in a couple. How many you played? Two or three?
Three, yeah.
You played in three Pro Bowls. This is how it would go for me, okay? And you know I'm not going to lie. I'm going to say, yo, bro, what's the tempo? If you say I'm coming hard, then I'm cutting you. I'm cutting you. So if you want to come hard and get sacks on me in the Pro Bowl, I'm slicing your knees out. It's all game.
Yeah. A lot of – you know what, though? Also, I think it's – you know, there's a lot of parity because a lot of dudes make the team and then they don't – go, so these younger guys who are maybe even deserving, so get the opportunity.
And they don't care.
They want to make sure. They want to make sure that they show that they belong there.
Okay.
You know. Also, the second thing that you have is I noticed there's a lot more dudes who there were guys back in the day. Here's an example. There's guys back in the day that we played against that we also heard about how they practiced.
Yeah, they didn't practice.
They only practiced like
Bruce
how they
Smith.
But how about John Randall? People used to get fights.
You're not going to slow John Randall down.
No, but the idea is in practice, they would fight. You'd get fights with the linemen because he'd go so crazy. Yeah. Junior Seau. Mm-hmm. So the idea there was some guys, it doesn't matter how fast you're going. They're going to go that fast.
I heard stories that John Randall not only would disrupt his own drill, but he would go on a scout team and play scout.
Yeah, just to mess it up.
And just to mess everything. And I don't want John Randall in practice. I don't want that. I didn't want him during the game
either. No, it was bad enough during the game.
But me and Sapp were going back and forth. And we were talking about John Randall. And he joked, he goes, you never could block John Randall. And I said back to him, in all due respect, brother, you go back and look at the tape and the history, I'm going to go out on a limb and say I played against John Randall more than anybody in the history of the NFL. Who played against? Because we came in the same year, and I played against him twice every year for 7 years, and then I played against him two more times in Philadelphia. I didn't want to, but I have 16 games against John Randall. If I couldn't block him, they'd have stopped it at four, right?
No, because you know he was a special player. You know, I mean, obviously he's in the Hall of Fame, so that just speaks for itself. But yeah. even though if you watch some of the films, you see the athleticism and how he can explode off the ball and his freakish strength. He literally was...
The best motor ever, maybe.
Well, this is weird. Motor, is that... Because some things, he was just the way he was built was freakish, wasn't
it? But he was insane, though.
He was like... Had no fat on him, but he was so jacked and rocked up from the calves up to his traps, you know?
He was like old people strong, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he, I don't know.
And young people strong as
well. And young people strong too.
He had youthful strength. Yeah. And he was very spry.
Reggie White had more old people strength.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
I remember watching these old shows on ABC. It was like Something with the Stars.
Yeah, Superstars.
You know, Superstar Challenge or something. And they had Reggie White was on once, and he was like,
I think he military pressed like 300 pounds.
It was the weirdest. You see what I'm talking about? You know exactly what I'm talking
about.
He was doing some odd lift that it, like he'd never done it before. Yeah. Yet still he was way stronger than everybody else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was on the field with him, and he was way stronger than everybody else.
He would throw some big 300-pound men around like they were. He would ragdoll 300-pound men on a regular. It was very weird. He had a rage about him that was That was crazy, man.
And it wasn't really a rage like a John Randall has an odd rage. It was like an inner rage. You know what I mean?
Like absolutely.
He didn't say anything.
No. Yeah.
He might be shaking and frothing at the mouth a little bit.
It was like a biblical rage.
Yeah. That's well said. Yeah. But I tell you what, I dumped him once. I put him on his back one time.
What do you mean, he tripped?
His feet got caught up.
Okay.
But I put him on his back.
All right.
Okay, I got to the point before him, and his feet got caught up, and I put him on his back. And I remember him being really mad. Like, he wasn't mad that I did something dirty.
Yeah.
He's just mad that I put him on his back.
Yeah.
And it's just the only time in my career I block Reggie White, put him on his back, and I apologized. I'm sorry. I go, sorry, Reggie. I didn't do that on purpose. And I did do it on purpose, so I lied to him, I guess.
You did. Well, you know what, though? It probably saved you a lot of headache.
Yeah, you don't want him mad. You don't want him mad at you.
No, you don't want him changing the defensive play just so he can line up against you.
Well,
to exact some biblical penance. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. He was one of those guys, and there's stories about when Reggie White got upset. He brings the Lord into it.
The Lord's
coming to get you.
Yeah, he is.
You know?
Yeah, and he's right.
Yeah.
Usually, if you watch film, you'd be like, he's right.
Yeah, no doubt.
Why would I deny? Why would he be making things up? Throwing dudes around like
no
that.
Doubt. Well, have you ever? I asked you earlier if you've ever been here to Smoke and Aces.
No.
And what was your answer?
I go no because again, what do you mean?
Because we're in Plant City.
Well, yes. It's a little bit off the.
It's a little
path,
off the beaten path.
But
yes.
I mean, I'm excited about it though because you've said so many good things about it.
Yeah.
I like to see what all the hubbub's about.
Well, I'm about hubbub. I'm about some good food.
No, absolutely.
The lovely Kathy, she's a big fan of barbecue as well.
Oh, yeah.
Nor you really can't trust anybody that doesn't like barbecue.
Well, you know what? Especially in the South,
yeah.
I think if you're a vegetarian and you know you come for the size, I imagine, but the smell of it.
Vegetarians don't come in here.
No, they don't.
Nah.
Really?
Why? Why would you do that?
But
nah. Vegetarians don't come into barbecue places
where
the guy has awards for ribs and
there's
brisket.
Animals, pictures of animals all over the place.
As much as you know, brisket makes me randy.
Yeah.
Brisket will turn the stomach of a vegetarian. But I just love the fat and the crispy morsels on brisket.
No, it's all right, man. Some people don't have it as good as we do that we're able to eat these fine meat products. You know, some people's bodies don't even handle meat well, you know? And God bless, you know, they got to do with the lentils.
Whose
and
body
stuff.
Doesn't
A lot of people who
really?
Are vegetarians, yeah.
I don't know anything about that.
They have, you know, the body doesn't process meat. And you have, obviously, you have like warthog type intestinal, you know, juices.
Sure do.
That break down stuff really
sure
well.
Do.
Some people don't have it like
well,
that, man.
I've never had a problem with breaking down meat
okay.
or cooking meat or eating meat or the whole nine yards. And I've eaten, I want to say, at just about every barbecue restaurant in the Bay Area. And I'm telling you, Smoke and Aces is my number one.
Wow, that's saying a lot.
I'm telling you, Smoke Wings.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
I love smoke wings.
What's your favorite barbecue? What's your favorite barbecue?
I like ribs.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He makes some really, really good ribs.
I like
ribs
a good
too.
Rib.
But this guy wins, like, you know, these tournaments.
Yeah.
And, you know, Robert, that's his thing. And he's not so much out here. He's in there, man.
Yeah,
and
that's where he lives.
He gets it in. No
yeah,
doubt.
Absolutely. You got to be like that because, the stakes are so high now.
Mm-hmm.
You can make a nice little, you know, little bit of change if you win.
Yeah.
You know, even if you place in those, because they have so many people. I think the Food Network and, you know, all those barbecue paradise shows, on Travel Channel. Yeah. It gets everybody hyped.
What Food Network shows you watch? I watch them all. The shows that I watch, I have to watch a show that's going to teach me how to cook. Like, if it doesn't teach somebody how to cook, I won't watch the show. Like Chopped, it doesn't do anything for me. I like some, like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. You watch it, they teach you what to put it in. They'll even tell you what to put it in and how much. And I'll sit there with my Sharpie and I'll write it down, and that will be my recipe. If you don't teach me how to cook, I don't watch it.
All right, you're a how-to guy.
Definitely a how-to guy.
I like those shows that go to places that have the best of something.
Yeah,
just to see what what things are, and you learn a lot about the different parts of the country from that. And also, anything where they, like you said, show you the process and. Now to think about it, I like them all.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's really none that I don't like. Maybe the ones that are trying to be like talk shows.
Yeah, no.
You know, doesn't really work. We don't care about the people so much as the food.
No, I'm not trying to be too talky.
I like the shows that have like the largest pizza or like the largest cheeseburger or steak or something, and then they have a challenge that you have to accept and sign a waiver.
But that's the thing, though. I don't eat like that.
No.
Like, I eat to enjoy myself.
Not a lot of people can.
Yeah, I don't like to eat. That's going to really hurt my system to eat that much hamburger, you know? or the hot wings and stuff. Like, I like hot food. You know I like hot food.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
But, like the challenge hot stuff, that's not good for your body.
On 4th of July, do you watch, like, Kobayashi and the hot dog competition?
Love that. I love
Joey
to see
Chestnut
the Asian dudes dunking the hot dog in water. It's disgusting, but I have a competitive nature to me.
Really?
Like, I like to sit down and eat 5 hot dogs, real nice with mustard and coleslaw. You know what I mean? Like, chill though, you know?
I don't need the close-ups.
No.
I don't need them seeing them like gagging snot bubbling because they're, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to see that,
though,
man.
It's disgusting.
Back the camera off of them.
Are you hip to Viceland? The channel Viceland.
Oh, yeah, Viceland. Yeah. I watch Viceland. Yeah, Viceland.
Yeah. We were talking about it earlier.
You could tell it's just that shows you we're getting old.
It's a weed-smoking
There were no shows like that when we grew up.
Of course not.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't.
You know what we had when we grew up?
Reefer Madness.
We had Benny Hill.
Yeah, it's true.
Benny Hill was that was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Now they got.
We used to see a bosom every once in a while, Benny Hill.
Yeah.
As a young man, I used to wait hours just to see that one bosom that you're going to see in Benny Hill, and it was awesome.
And it was, but now they got Viceland where you can show people like cooking
weed.
The
other day I was saying that they were using a smoker and they smoked the chicken with weed. And then they put like that OG Kush in the charcoal to smoke the chicken. First of all, you wasting some good OG Kush.
Well, you know, I was about to say, I mean, who's footing, who's
Viceland.
Oh, yeah.
Have you watched Bon Appetit yet?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, well, when the dude opens his pantry, he has 100 different strains of weed there. Everybody's bringing their weed to this guy.
And it gets a little bit too much. They started saying letters and numbers and
stuff. Sativa and
Like when they talk about the oils.
But you have to.
What is he talking about?
But listen to me. It's different than smoking. You have to know those numbers, or you're going to trip somebody out. If you get too much, and I've seen it, I've seen somebody get too much, and it's not good. It happened in my house one Sunday where people got too much.
Really?
And you were there?
They had
you didn't get too much.
No.
But some people got too much. Some people were throwing up in the bathroom. Other people were walking around like Night of the Living Dead. Yeah. Other people didn't know where they lived. Like, it was like some people were like the next day, did you put crack in the brownies? Like, I didn't do it.
Brownies.
Yeah, but some people literally thought there was crack in
sweets,
it.
But no, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and other people were eating them like M&M's, but I'm not going to bring up any
people
names.
Didn't know, yeah.
I'm not going to bring up any
people,
names.
People with sweet tooth.
There you go. Super Bowl Sunday, okay? A funny story is back in the day when free agency was hip. We were in the middle of the league when free agency came about, and me and Tony used to sit around in the locker room and talk about money because, you know, our locker rooms were locker beside each other. So before he left, I was like, hey, you know, you're up this year and you're probably going to get this much money. And he's like, yeah, no, okay, whatever. So then I'm in Montreal, and Tony calls me up in this funny voice. He goes, "Yo, dude." I'm like, "What's going on?" He goes,
"Talk."
He goes, "New." Yeah, he goes, "Yo, dude." He goes, "The New England Patriots just gave me an offer sheet." I go, "What does that mean?" Yeah, they just gave me an offer sheet for this much money. And I was like, I think it was like 10 seconds, like this dead air. I go, "What?" So Tony was one of the first cats to get really broke off back in the day. Congratulations, by the way.
Well, thank you. That was, you know.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah, we had leather helmets there, too. You know what I'm saying?
Almost. So, but you were almost part of the Patriots organization.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that. I never really think about that, but I did. Reggie White settlement that allowed there to be restricted free agency just started. And my contract was up. And usually, you know how it is. Usually before, you only could negotiate with your team.
Sure.
And if they didn't want you, then you're a free agent. Mm-hmm. But you only had negotiation rights. But so then they had this thing where you could protect players by giving them a certain tender offer. And then your compensation would be something that, and that nobody, steer people away. And so it's kind of weird that I expected, whatever. It wasn't even the high compensation. Mm-hmm. It was like the medium compensation.
But still was high considering what you thought you were going to get, like triple.
And the fact that there was a team that were willing to lose the draft pick and sign just blew me away.
Well, says a lot about you.
I signed, of course, and then Tampa had a week to match it. And they ended up matching it. So, yeah, but I never thought it was just so funny how just like that I could have been
very
gone.
Few people know that story.
And I played, ended up staying 6 more years, you know.
And
maybe more. See, yeah, six,
probably
more
about
years.
6 years.
Yeah.
And, I don't know if they would have won. Did they win any Super Bowls during those 6 years, you think?
Who?
The Patriots. During those 6 years. I never thought about that. See, I could have signed with the Chargers 1 year, and that's the 1 year they went to the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
And
yeah.
They had more money on the table to go to San Diego, and I stayed here for lesser money. But your money's not the same in San Diego.
No, I was going to say, as soon as you get hit by that ridiculous California state tax.
11%.
Is it really?
It's 11% as opposed to 0%.
Have you been to San Diego?
It's gorgeous.
It's beautiful gorgeous. Place, man. And the weather, you know what that tells me? The property's value is very high.
Well, you know what's funny? I bought my first house in Tampa Palms. You remember my first house in Tampa Palms?
Yeah, absolutely.
I paid $175,000 for my first house in Tampa Palms. And that was a lot of money back then. And my agent says, "Well, this is how much money San Diego has on the table." And I go, "Well, that's a lot of money. I'm going." He goes, "Slow down." Mm. He goes, "That house that you just paid $175,000 for is worth $750,000 in San Diego."
Yeah.
I'm going to stay my ass put.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay my ass right here.
Gotcha. You had a jacuzzi.
Yeah, hot tub.
You know what I'm saying?
Tampa's a lot like San Diego. Well, no,
it's a lot hotter. But you know what? I'll take Tampa. I'll take Tampa. The cost of living and all, I would have minus. I'd have negative money now.
No. But you know what, though? It's funny, though. Tampa's, if that's where you're going to end up, man. A lot of worse places in here.
A lot of worse places. I'll be honest with you. If you weigh everything, you take all the NFL cities, and you weigh everything, Tampa's number one.
Well, it's going to, you know what? Some people might have different geographical biases, but.
But let's start with the state tax.
But the idea is, right, if you're going to have a list, they're going to be in the top five.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't think there's not a lot of states that have zero.
No, I think Texas has zero now. And
we just have to pay state tax for playing in other people's states.
Yeah, there's another.
You
got to look to where the business is going,
I guess.
That's how you get it.
But there's no. We were here. We got here in 1990. And I know for a fact no city has grown like Tampa Bay. The whole Tampa Bay area. No, where you live, the Bruce B. Downs area over there, dude.
Yeah.
I used to live there, and it used to be on Bruce B. Downs, used to be the Publix, and then you used to have to drive, and then it'd be Hunter's Green, and you have to drive, and it'd be Pebble Creek Golf Course. That's it.
Yeah, it's blown up
out there. Now you drive out there, I don't even recognize anything anymore. It's crazy.
You know what? First of all, stay out of the place. We don't want you.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm South Tampa.
That's what's gotten better about it, the fact that you're not up there so much.
Correct.
Now that you're gone, we have room.
It's safer.
We got room. Everybody can build now.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Unlike Tampa, South Tampa, God bless, that's, the entire area. Downtown area. Well, you can't.
Downtown can.
But you know what they do? They knock down the small house and build big, giant houses.
Yes, they do.
So it looks bigger.
Yes, they do.
You know, it's like with the Monopoly, you get take the little house off, you put the big little green one off, put the red one on. That's how they do with all those lots.
They're doing it in a lot of places now.
Yeah, because
it's spreading out by the UT area. All that is gonna.
It is crazy bit, how that's all grown.
It's gonna go crazy.
Yeah,
and downtown is definitely growing, no doubt.
But you know, but since we've been here, we always said that, man, this place had the downtown that was jumping. You really,
it's still not jumping now.
Oh, jumping is all. Yeah.
Well, like, once again, I brought you to Montreal, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You go in the middle of Montreal right now, it's jumping. Okay, yeah. it's jumping all the time. When I talk about downtown Tampa, I'm talking about like where Hammer Jacks used to be back in the day.
Oh, that's
there's
funny.
Nothing
Nobody
there.
Even knows that.
There's nothing there. The last time we went to Hammer Jacks, it was called something else.
Hammer Jacks.
I'm going to tell you a story.
How can you remember something like dude, the name I was, of a club?
I wasn't concussed that much.
I don't know if we were married.
I got this big head, and I was able to absorb all the blows. The last time we went to that building that used to be Hammer Jacks, which some people might know, and I bet you forget the story because you have bad habits, it was me, Tony Mayberry, and Reggie Cobb. And we walk up to the front door, and the bouncer looks at us up and down. He says, I think I should tell you that this is a gay bar. And we all look at each other well, thank you. And we turned around and we walked out. Nothing wrong with a gay bar. It's just us three aren't going to go in one.
And it wasn't always one, right? It was always, it's like a cool little spot.
It was a spot back in the day. You know,
everywhere.
Yeah, I remember seeing Kool and the Gang played there, and a lot of different acts, and a lot of good-looking young ladies, and it was huge. But it turned into a gay bar. But you go there now, there's
now
nothing.
They're like, let's celebrate.
Yeah.
Without the guys from Kool and the Gang. They're all just...
Yes, understandable. Pressing. That was a good impersonation. It was awesome. Super Bowl. Who do you got for the Super Bowl?
I don't really... I mean, come on now. That's ridiculous. Because look what you... Look
is
what
it
you're,
ridiculous?
It is ridiculous.
I think for once, there's two logical sides.
Yeah.
There's two logical sides.
Why would a team like Atlanta, who's done what they've done during the year... to the level, and literally what you do is you get better. You know, if you Correct. Get better, it's the same. And they've clearly gotten better.
Clearly.
So they're at their peak level right now. How in the world could a team like that lose? But then again.
There you go.
There you go.
Whatever you're going to say, it's a big other side.
If it was any other team.
You gave Belichick and Brady 2 weeks to prepare for you. And I said this the other day. Somebody says, I'm Atlanta. I go, that's fine. And I hope Atlanta's going to win too. I go, but would you be shocked if New England beat them by 21?
But see, here's the problem.
Would you be shocked?
No, because when I watched the game against the Steelers, it seemed like everybody's wide open. Sometimes there was not a Steeler in the frame of the TV as the guy was catching the ball. Over like 20 times. That means they're so coached. It's not X's and O'd.
It's not rocket science, but it is.
It is.
Because you remember back in the day, and I've always said this, you have to be able to run the football in January. Poppycock. You don't have to do that anymore, okay? This is what Brady does, okay? And sometimes Atlanta does it as well. And Aaron Rodgers did it. Brady comes out in what we used to call scat protection, which is no backs in the back.
Yeah, no.
So he has five receivers, okay? He has five very knowledgeable receivers.
Yeah.
You can't cover five guys every play. There's somebody going to be open. You can't run any zone, and Brady knows exactly where the ball's going before the ball is snapped. You can't surprise Tom Brady anymore. You can't surprise him.
It was interesting to listen to Bill Belichick talk about, you know, how, you know, because the people ask him over and over, and he said his hardest or one of his main goals is to challenge a guy like Tom Brady.
It's got to be hard.
At the level, because he's gone to the level. You know, they've taken it so high that the game, you can dissect the game a billion ways.
Can.
But who has the time, knowledge, or the ability and experience to get to Jedi level?
But listen.
But that's where they're kind of approaching, you know?
I know you're
Jedi
gonna,
level.
I know you're going to agree with me. When we started off as rookies, we both started in Detroit. Against Jerry Ball and Chris Spielman, and we're 22 years old. We were just out there winging it, okay? In your 10th year, you got to the line of scrimmage, you looked, you deciphered things, you knew what was going to come, you knew what call, you knew what was going to happen, you knew the reason why the guy was lined up where he was lined up. Tom Brady's 40.
Yeah, he's done
okay?
it.
Okay, so he's done that over and over and over. If you play chess, the first time you play chess, you move one man.
Yeah.
Click. You talk about these Russian dudes or some of these champions. Yeah. They're moving 10 guys every time they move a guy.
Yeah.
They know where the. So that's what Tom Brady is.
See, but their brains are human computers. What Tom Brady somehow has done is able to match that physically. He devoted his entire life mm-hmm. to the preservation and trying to treat his body like a temple.
Correct.
I mean, here's a guy who is, he doesn't eat any processed food.
Nothing.
I mean, if you heard, that's a pretty, I mean, Lord knows, if I got a private chef and I got, you know, his kind of cash, I'm, you know, I
mean, no, no,
I'm, every
no,
now and then
no,
I'm
you're
a
not you, not you, not you. You're not, okay?
But splurge, no, no, just, I'm going to eat me a steak.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. You're going to say, Jeeves, get me some fried chicken.
Yes.
That's what you're going to say.
He's complete, yes.
That's exactly. What you're going to say.
That's what I'm, he never, so the idea that is with all the success he's had, he somehow just, still so focused on just being at the high level that, and again, I think you just got to think that.
But it's obsessive, though.
It is obsessive.
Because, you know, even Peyton Manning, they obsessive. Said Peyton Manning used to get it in. They used to get drunk. I mean, I knew a guy who went to college, but they said he would get drunk. You don't really hear those stories about Tom Brady. Like, I remember hearing Shannon Sharp talking once. He says, during the season, I ate the same thing every day at the same time. And Shannon, the tight end, who was built and chiseled crazy.
Absolutely.
And he goes, and then I let myself have one piece of cheesecake a week. And I'm like, really?
Yeah, and you're rolling around. Yeah, you're rolling just, around in cheesecake.
Yeah, I'm just, I'm snorting cheesecake. Yeah. And you remember what we used to, you know, eat on Saturday nights before games? It was obscene a little bit.
You know what? That was kind of like, I always thought that was like old school. You know, paying tribute to the old, you know, before you go out for the battle, you feast.
I was okay you know with it. Saying? I wasn't judging you.
No, you were right there.
I was right there. Like, we used to get, they'd be snacked before Saturday night, and we would get two huge hamburgers with mayonnaise.
Half pounders. Fries. Not little ones.
This and that. And then we're going for a Cinnabon. Because you figure the next day, you're going to battle.
Yeah.
And you're going to work it off. You can't work off like kale, you know?
No, you have to
eat. Meat and fatty meats.
I remember Booger McFarlane used to tell me stories about that when they would go out for fried chicken or something, and they would just bring chickens, and they would just eat incredible amounts of food.
And people think that athletes, and people say, well, you guys didn't eat any bad food. I go, every Friday, we had Popeye's chicken, and it was just like crates of Popeye chicken.
Right.
And people eating four or five pieces because we deserved it.
And we had Saturday mornings, you'd have what were those sandwiches from?
From Waffle House.
Waffle House.
Sapp used to go get the sandwiches from Waffle House. That would be, I think, pork. It would be like pulled pork, bacon, ham, and it was like five other pork products on it. You know what I mean? Remember what he called it? From the Ruta to the Tuta.
Oh, yeah, the Ruta.
And
they're so silly.
They weren't good for you, but we show enough was
well. The reason, you know what? Here's a couple of things. It wasn't a fashion show. It was more like
we're linemen.
Yeah, we had the more think of sumo wrestling. You know what I'm saying? Those guys aren't so worried about what's hanging out or whatever. They just try to throw the other cat out of the ring. Yeah,
but these days, these offensive linemen that I see out there, they don't have no stomachs anymore. There's some kind of vitamin that they're giving these linemen and these athletes that there's no guts left in football. Even the 360-pound D lineman, like Haloti Ngata's 360, and he don't have no gut. Yeah. How do you do that?
Well,
you don't know. Do you?
Oh, I kind of have an idea.
You do have an idea?
I don't want to call them out or nothing. All those guys,
All of those guys, please.
Yeah.
Listen, if I play today, I'll tell you the stuff I'll be taking.
Really?
Absolutely.
But you were such a staunch...
like back in the day...
Abstainer, yes.
No, back in the day, it was just steroids. And like steroids, it was a scary word.
Yeah.
They're not scary. Now it's designer drug. Now it's testosterone. Now it's HGH.
We were in a unique time where in the right when we got in the early 90s, that's when there was a lot of problems with steroids in the league in the late 80s.
Sure.
So they went out of their way to start mandatory testing year-round.
Well, they started in 91, I think.
Yeah, is it 99? Exactly. Yeah. And the league changed dramatically.
All the old crusty dudes started disappearing.
The big yoked-up dudes, who were all kind of leathery, all left the league.
Yeah.
And what came to at least for linemen-wise, what came to be the fashion were big... really big athletic kind of roundish dudes who were naturally strong.
Yeah.
And so that came to the thing. So and then that lasted, especially when Dallas got really good because they had, you know, Larry Allen and a couple of those guys. And if you look at their line, they were all freakish. They're all freakish.
But you think those guys were taking anything? I mean, honestly, though, Larry Allen, first of all, is I don't think Larry Allen took. I just think he's from another planet.
Exactly. Every now, somebody's got to be the best at something, and you can just hate on them because they're that much physically better than you.
But okay, 700-pound bench press.
Yes, nobody could do that. Even guys
ever.
Yeah, ever. I've never heard of that.
I mean, you know, I was a bench press guy back in the day.
There was very
few guys who benched more than I did at 500. That's a lot of weight.
Yeah.
He benched 200 pounds more than I did.
Yeah, exactly.
And he didn't take anything? Yeah, I don't know about that one, dude.
Well, you know what? I think here's a couple reasons. The one thing I noticed that they talked about when we first got in the league, when the dudes who were enjoying themselves and maybe supplementing certain ways, those guys didn't last. They were so prone to injury because the muscular growth outpaced the tendon strength and the ligament strength.
Tony Mandrich dudes.
Yeah. So once they got off because of the testing got so hard, they weren't able to maintain the aggressive nature that they got from it. So they became the question.
I think they were mentally scarred too.
Exactly.
Like I had three roommates in college that were taking steroids and they got caught. And they had to get off of it. So I saw single-handedly what it does to them in time lapse.
No, absolutely.
Mentally, the whole nine yards. So it doesn't make you a great athlete, but it does help you as an athlete.
You know what? See, the funny thing is, I think if there were more, and I may be naive, but it didn't. There was a huge part of the 90s there where the testing had caught up to the faking.
Correct.
And the faking hadn't taken over.
We played in the cleanest era.
See, that's what I think.
We did. We absolutely did.
And really, it seemed like those guys who were still trying to fake it in there, they were not the good guys. They were always the periphery guys who had to resort to that.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, guys who were the ballers, they weren't looked at suspiciously. Mm-hmm. They just, their natural ability, the fact that their knowledge of the game, I think it enhanced the game. But now, because of the visualization of, you know, a high definition TV, how you look mattered more.
I can see that.
Guys probably were like, "Man, if you zoom in on your little P arms, you know what? You know you're gonna be in there working them out and doing things." And I think it helps the overall concept of the gladiatorial nature of the game, where everybody's these superhuman type dudes. So I think they probably softened their. There's spin on that, and like you said,
I think the scientists are too smart.
They are. They know how to manipulate.
The same people that are doing the drug tests are the same people that are making these new drugs that are undetectable. I mean, that's where the money is. Now, Kathy, football.
Yeah.
You're going with Falcons, or you're going with the...
I want to see Atlanta win, just because I'm tired of the Patriots.
Was that where your money is going to go, though? That's where your money would go?
No, my money would go on the Patriots, for sure.
Yeah, you got to wait till... I know Robert's bringing the food out.
Yeah, this looks great. What are you guys going to have? Because this is enough for me right here.
I'm going to try a little bit of all of it.
Oh, man.
And we have to wait for my boy Shooter to come, because he's going to be shooting some video.
All right.
And hope he hurries up, because I'm about to dig into that stuff real, real soon. I know, you said you guys have not eaten here at the...
No, and you know the dude's just walking over here putting plate after plate.
Yeah.
You see,
we got ribs.
It doesn't matter if I make any money on my podcast because I'm going to be eating good food every week. You know what I mean? I like to create things. Like, I like, you know, good food and lovely young ladies. You know what I mean?
No, listen. Well, I tell you what. I might pass out. I really might.
You haven't seen Tony eat.
Oh.
I mean, Tony Tony can definitely get it in, no doubt.
Well, good.
All right. So we're here at Smoking Aces hanging out, and we're about to indulge in this beautiful food. Okay, this is a part of the show that's going to be the pièce de résistance, if I could use some French, in a barbecue place. I have the owner, Robert, here. Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Morning, Ian. Good to see you again, brother.
Now, I live in South Tampa, so what the hell am I doing all the way here in Plant City for barbecue?
I think you're looking for the best barbecue in the area, without a doubt.
Well, I like your confidence, brother. Now, we're going to go through it. I have my taste testers right there. Talk to me about the ribs.
It's a St. Louis ribs is what we're running with here, and these are the ribs that we won the Florida State Barbecue Championship on back in 2015, and... we do a brown sugar rub on top with a special blend of spices that we put together, and I really think it sets the taste apart. We also use soaked hickory nuts and water that kind of adds a little bit better flavor to it than just standard oak, because we cook everything on wood.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've been here before, and like you said, they are award-winning.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about. There's very few things more comforting than ribs. Now, talk to me about the wings, which are fantastic.
These wings, we were actually doing a dry rub grill on them in the beginning, and then we realized if we did a little flash fry on them, it would really bring out the crispiness of the skin to give it that crunch that you're looking for. And we've been fortunate to be the Lakeland King of the Wings winner last year, and also been voted Best Chicken Wings Plant City 2 years in a row. And that's our honey hot sauce that goes right on top there. It's sweet, a little spicy, fantastic flavor, and as you can notice, the wings are jumbo in size.
Yeah.
Well, I've said before, I think these are the best smoke wings I've ever had. I mean, they're tender, unbelievable. What are you thinking over there, Tony? Well, good stuff, right? Nice and tender, and that's his special honey wings.
It's honey hot. It's kind of got some hot sauce mixed in with the honey. It's actually a great glaze.
It's delicious.
It's got a little zip to it on the backside.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm.
And it brings great flavor. It's better than your, in my opinion, it's better than your standard buffalo sauce. Everybody's got the buffalo wing sauce everywhere, but we try to set ourselves aside by having something different. We have a sweet red chili. We have the honey hot. We have a citrus chipotle. We have even our Carolina style mustard barbecue sauce, which is brown sugar, mustard, and honey mix. And that took third place over at the Florida State Barbecue Championship last year.
Now, do me a favor. Bring that microphone and give that to Tony so Tony has a microphone. Is that going to fit over there?
We can edit that. We can buff out the dirty parts. You got to stand there. Mic check, 1, 2.
Make sure if they get something, make sure you get them as they're eating it, if that's possible. Okay. That's we're here to be annoying. Do me a favor.
Yes.
Put that here so that Robert can speak in there if he can. There you go.
Okay, heard that. All right.
Okay, I know I'm a huge shrimp and grits fan. I have not had this here yet, so this is going to excite me. Kathy, this is for you. You got a little individual shrimp and grits right here. Yeah. Okay. I'm a huge shrimp and grits guy. Actually, I had the grits here last time, not with the shrimp, though. I just had the grits. Yeah. It tastes like grits that your mom would make at home.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, we're not using just some instant kind of quick grit thing. These actually take time to boil down. These are stone ground white, and they got a great hold time on them, so it allows us to keep the grits on hold without them going bad, and they're a fantastic product. And we try to just, that's what we're trying to do, is carry quality product at an outstanding price.
Now, I have to go back to this wing. I've not done the wing yet.
These grits are
they're great?
The grits by themselves are really great.
Absolutely.
All the stuff that's coming off those shrimp, what kind of...
That's a blackening seasoning that we use on it. I think it takes it to the next level. Absolutely. When you're doing the shrimp. And another thing, using real butter and sea salt.
You can taste the difference between if you get instant grits.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Regular salt.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
You use real butter and you slow cook them and they're so much more creamy. And
so I'm saying, it tastes like your mom made it.
Man.
Exactly.
Really good.
Now... I don't eat onion rings a lot because I'll be 800 pounds. But these that's real.
These are extra crispy.
They look unbelievable. They're nice and thin and crispy.
Yeah, they're these are jumbo Spanish sweets, and we do it all by hand here. The batter we mix every single day.
That's the lightest onion ring I ever picked up in my life.
Yeah, I mean, you really want to have a nice crunch through on it.
Oh, my Lord.
Have great flavor. What you don't want is the onion to pull through on the batter.
Yeah, I hate it when that
You're looking
happens.
To bite right through it.
Yeah.
The ancho ranch with a little bit of Cajun seasoning that's been mixed in it. It really steps up the flavor rather than your standard wing.
That is a top-notch onion ring.
Delicious.
I don't crave onion rings, but I'm craving these immediately. Unbelievable. Mm. Okay. I'm going to go work out after this. You know that, right?
Right. Well, without a doubt.
Back to
you
it.
Are a workout guy.
No
There's
doubt.
No doubt about that.
No doubt. Now, let's try to get these all. This is a, what did you call this?
This is a cheesy hash brown casserole. I came up with this when I was doing an event over with the Kansas City Barbecue Society. Mm-hmm. I actually read about it in their KCBS bull sheet, and I said, you know what? This is a fantastic side to bring to the table, and it really sets it apart from everybody else. I mean, you got potatoes, you know, but we really need to have something just a little bit different, and
it's It's so creamy and cheesy. And naughty. That's not any type of diet anytime soon.
No, that's gonna put some weight on you right there. We're not knocking down no calories here. No, that's for sure.
Isn't that great?
It's delicious. I'm glad that everything has bacon on it.
Too. Yes.
What bacon? I mean, let's talk about the bacon, because to me, the bacon makes everything better. Mm. You're wrapping filet mignon with bacon, mm-hmm. bacon and salad, bacon on potatoes, bacon on burgers, bacon on hot dogs. Bacon on everything.
I heard there was a shortage of bacon. Did you hear that?
Yes, there is. There's a huge demand of it. I mean, pork prices are going to continue to rise as we continue on. And there's a strong demand for pork in China. And that's exactly what's happening. And it's pulling it out of the U.S. markets. And therefore, it's driving the price up. And it's caught. And now with pork belly being a very hot, trending item across restaurants, that's where your bacon comes from. And now that's what people are doing. I mean, they're really doing a lot of stuff with the pork.
Taste that. I'm telling you what, pulled pork's not my go-to normally. That's about as moist as I've ever had a pulled pork. I don't know what he did to that. How long do you smoke that pulled pork?
10 to 12 hours. It just, once it reaches its internal temp and where we feel it needs to be to pull, that's what it's going to take. And the brisket's the same way. Mm-hmm. But the difference with the brisket is we put it in au jus with a little bit of barbecue sauce, mm-hmm. barbecue seasoning, garlic powder, black pepper, and a little bit of accent that helps flavor up the brisket a little bit. And the problem with brisket is it's always been a dry item. People have a hard problem of trying to keep it moist. I mean, that's one of the issues with it. We actually chop it up a little bit more here when we put it on sandwiches. But it's a hot item for us. We can't keep burn-ins in stock. We do a lot. We really try to put that out. And there's only a limited amount of burn-ins on a brisket, and it's a first-come, first-served thing. People kind of get upset that, you know, oh, you're a barbecue place, but you run out. I'm not carrying over. We're here to sell. Mm-hmm. We cook every day. It's a first-come, first-served. And a lot of the barbecue places, we're not making burgers. We're not making something that's quick and fast. The process takes a long time. I can't produce a bunch of ribs, so if someone comes and wants 20 slabs and I got it, that's the way it goes.
God bless. I'll tell you what, you're about quality, and I love that. And I'm everything on this table is unbelievable. That's why I brought everybody all the way from South Tampa, and you knew Tampa, to indulge in this wonderful food. Robert, I've said before, you do it the best, brother.
I appreciate it. It means a lot coming from you.
Smoking aces.
You're the restaurant connoisseur, and you've eaten at every place in South Tampa and around. And if anybody knows food, it's going to be you.
Well, I appreciate you giving me that big, long title. But basically, I just eat a lot. I like restaurant connoisseur. It sounds better. It sounds more sophisticated. But
that's basically it.
I eat a lot. I eat a lot of barbecue, and this is the best barbecue out there. Smoking Aces all the way in Plant City. Come and check him out. And that's how we're going to end. Excuse me, I belched. That's how we're going to end our podcast. This is Flavoring in Your Ear. I want to thank a lovely Kathy Susiewicz. Thank you for sitting in.
Thank you, Kathy, for coming out. Thank you, Tony,
for coming out.
Good stuff. Tony Mayberry in the house. When we need somebody to tell you about food, he's definitely a good one to do it. If anybody eats more than me, he's definitely one of them. I want to thank the fellows over here at Radio Influence, and we'll be in your ear every Friday. We'll be taping on Thursday at a beautiful place with great food like Smoking Aces, and we'll be broadcasting every Friday, okay? So make sure you check us out. You can go to radioinfluence.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and also we're going to have it on dignitaryradio.com. So look for us next week. We'll be somewhere with some wonderful food and some great guests as well. Peace out.
Flavor, please tell your neighbors, Ian Beckles with flavor in your ear. Wake up, sports, music, and fashion, best of podcasting, what's going on now and what's soon to happen.
To keep the conversation going, follow Ian on Twitter, at Ian Beckles, and check out DignitaryRadio.com to get the latest on where you can find him next. This has been Ian Beckles, Flavor in Your Ear on Radio Influence.
Bringing that flavor. Flavor.
Chef Brian Duffy here. I've got a new show called Duffified Live that's unlike anything you've ever heard. Each week, I'm going to be talking to some of my friends, some people I've never even met before. We're going to be talking about people that I meet on the road through some of my experiences. We're talking about restaurants, talking about great stories, great guests, wild adventures, the whole nine yards. Get Duffified Live with me, Chef Brian Duffy, each week on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.